Broadcasting live from the Fort Recovery Radio studios in downtown historic Fort Recovery, Ohio, right next to Tin Man's, it's time for some sports talk with Bubba and Fee. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely. Sports talk with Bubba and Fee.
Christmas jam. Can't beat it. Wednesday night, Bubba and Fee show. I got a special guy. Yes, the big fella ain't here. I got Jack. Jack's going to hang around. Big fella coming later.
Yeah.
We got a special guest tonight. The ladies coach, Mr. Brian Patch. Coach, how's it going, buddy?
Good, Fee. How you doing?
Real good. Real good. First and foremost, we were kind of talking about it. How's your daughter?
Getting better.
Getting better?
Yeah. This week was probably the best she's felt, since 4 weeks ago, so she could finally move her left hand and get some movement back in there where it's not completely stiff on her, and so it feels better, and I know she's feeling finally a little more relieved, I think, a little more comfortable.
So. Yeah, seeing things get better. So when you say can't move her left hand, I mean, like she can't move the fingers, or... Or is it just more of like a, tingling thing? Where
it's a tingling thing. And for her, she explained it as it's stiff. And so like she literally couldn't take one of the tests they did on her was she couldn't take her thumb and touch all four fingers.
Really?
And that's kind of how stiff it got. And so when it got to that point on a Monday about 2 weeks ago, then that's when we decided to take her into the hospital. So
we've been battling this for a couple of weeks, haven't we?
About 4 weeks, yeah.
4 weeks. Eek. So now, you're saying best thing she can do is play basketball.
Yeah, they diagnosed her with MS, and so which is she's very young to have that, but wasn't in her brain, which is obviously a good thing. It was just in her spinal cord. She did 5 days of heavy intense steroids and to get rid of one of the lesions on her back. And so one's down. She still has one on there. But they basically said the best thing was to get back playing again and get running. And that's going to be kind of her therapy.
That would be a therapy.
Get her back training again a little bit. So the first few days back was very tough on her. And she went back to school and came home and took a nap. And she was exhausted. And because basically for 7 days she sat in hospital.
Been laying in a bed.
And
sure
didn't move and couldn't do anything. And the steroid that she was taking was about four times what they give an average person. And so for her, she was just on a Stogler Thanksgiving feeding frenzy that you were talking about earlier. And so she was just going crazy for about 7 days sitting in the hospital bed. And then, finally kind of caught up to her when she started moving and going back to school. And she was just exhausted. So
I bet, too.
Puts things into perspective, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially this time of year when you're starting out with your season, and everyone's talking about have to win this, have to win that, and as a coach and as a parent, you kind of realize that hey, there's more important things out there than just winning games. That's what we obviously want to try to accomplish, but you kind of like say you put things in perspective and realize okay, there's a bigger purpose here, and so it probably has helped me a little bit as a coach too. So
so your coaching's probably been a little tough too then. You've been running back and forth and trying to do probably relying a little bit on assistant coach here a little bit.
And one of our coaches is not even around because she got married.
That's right.
She decided to get married during basketball season, so
take a week out of the
yeah. So she was gone for a week, of getting ready for the wedding stuff and talking about Chelsea Rogers, now her colleague, and so now she's on her honeymoon with Brady, and so we're starting the season. She's not here, so actually prior to that, Annie had spent the whole week down at the hospital, and so I just joked around with her about it that you had the easy part. You just sat in bed and watched movies with her and, didn't have any responsibilities.
Did you get clubbed for that statement?
No, because she probably knew it was true. Being back with the kids and that kind of thing was, you know, difficult because you weren't there and seeing all the stuff that she was kind of going through. But, you know, it was, we made it work as a family, and good thing we got a good family and friends, and we had people bringing food to help us out and different things like that. So, you know, we really appreciate the support of the community and the school and things. Our staff did a couple fundraisers for us, and because we're going to be driving to Columbus here coming up at Nationwide Hospital and things like that to see specialists and things to kind of keep things under control. And so, you know, I guess as a family, we're really fortunate and feel, I guess, very appreciative of the community we live in. So
great community. That's exactly right, buddy.
No doubt.
So Libby's on her way back then. So she's back in practice.
Yep. She started last week and started to play. And like I said, the first few days was very rough. And she's a pretty strong kid, you know, even through this whole process, she's stayed up beating positive, probably a lot more than what we have as parents. And, you know, you think of the worst, and at least I did, because my wife's a nurse and she understands all that stuff, and it didn't really bother her as much as it probably did me. And so, you know, coming back, seeing her in practice, you know, she got very frustrated. Like I said, that's the first time I really seen her frustrated with herself. And, it, you know, a lot of it was just because, you know, we were in week four, basically, or week three of practice. And for her, it was week one.
Exactly.
And, you know, she had started, even when she was practicing, she really wasn't going through everything just because she was always hurt. Or, you know, everything felt, you know, weird, and it was hard for her to do things. We had her set out a lot. And so when we started, when she got back, I said, we were already scrimmages and everything into it. And so, she was, you know, conditioning wise out of shape, and then, you know, being able to catch a basketball, still, you know, was struggling to do a lot of things. So she was very frustrated with that. So
that's baby steps. Baby steps.
Yeah.
Live one at a time, babe. You'll be back before you know it.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the old season. You got some great returners coming back. Got some good senior leadership this year, huh?
Yeah, we returned six kids that played for us a lot last year, and we lost three seniors. Caitlin Hillscamp was hurt all year with ACL. So, you know, from the standpoint of playing time, you know, she really never got to play for us. But then the two that better leadership off the court and sitting there on the bench and stuff really helped out. And then Michaela Post and Kendra Seifring, we lost the seniors. But on that, we returned, you know, the other six players, the three seniors and three juniors that played a lot for us.
So. And came off a great year last year.
Yeah, we won 19 games, which was the sixth most wins in our school's history. And you think about the tradition we've had at Fort Recovery and all the success. So for us to be able to accomplish, you know, six most wins, it was a pretty successful year.
Sure. And got to be great expectations this year, too.
Yeah, we always, you know, we always have high expectations with our teams and, you know, our players. And, you know, we sat down and talked about our goals and what we want to accomplish. And so, you know, we again have high expectations for us. So.
So we're going to start her out tomorrow night, huh? And then we got a, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure you do, but usually the Crestview Knights are a great girls program. We've had some wars with them in the past. It's a pretty good team again coming back. And have you heard much?
Yeah, we saw their first game, and they played Ottawaville last week, and they got beat by Ottawaville, who we scrimmaged and played well against. But they had Audible played really well in that game, and Crestview's somewhat young. They started a freshman point guard and a couple sophomores, and I think a junior and a senior, and a lot of the players off the bench are young kids. They have a couple freshmen and sophomores in the early rotation, so they're young. They got a new coach. Similar situation to what we were in. One of the assistants for the boys program left and went over to the girls side and became the girls head coach. And their longtime coach they had, Greg Rickard, had retired after like 30 some years and I think a state championship or two. And so they're kind of starting over. But, you know, they play really hard. They have a really nice player like Matoka or something like that. Mom played Division One basketball and she scored 22 of their 36 points the first game, so definitely someone we got to be able to watch.
Motika,
there you go.
Motika.
So I knew something like that.
Well, you know what? I remember there being a Motika that was on their state team back in the early 70s. How about that? That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think she played at BG, didn't she?
Yeah.
The mom?
Yep.
You know?
Hey. Yeah.
So
cool.
She's got some talent, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can shoot it.
So we got what? That'll be a good tester for us to open up, anyhow.
Yeah, and we're fortunate enough to have it at the Foresight where obviously we like to play.
Love playing there. So we got.
we're not starting off easy. I mean, we have Crestview. It sounds like they're young. And then we jump into Jay County and let's see, is Walpock early?
Walpock Saturday. Good. And then Knoxville Thursday, and then Jay County, and then St. John's. So
you're not taking it easy jumping in here.
No, we don't have too many easy games. No. You know, with the MAC, and then our non-conference games are pretty tough as well. So
that'll be good though. But that, you know, you can play those patsy schedules, and you know, sometimes, you know, it looks great on your record, but I think there's a lot of teams out there that play our MAC schools, and when we go play these teams, it's like in football. I mean, we go play a team that should be really good, and Macomb or, you know, them teams, and when you just play tough competition day in, day out in your league, you're going to be good. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, and you're going to be prepared for anything.
Well, and you play that schedule to help get you prepared for tournament. And, you know, when you get to tournament, it's just another game for you because you're used to playing teams of that caliber. And also for our kids, you know, when we play a team that's, you know, at a lower level, our kids play down.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of bad habits, and it's not fun playing in those games. It's not fun coaching in those games.
The South Adams last year.
Yeah, because you come off, you know, always upset and you're mad.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, it's kind of frustrating. So, you know, I'd rather play in the games that are more challenging and actually make our kids play.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Because then it's, you know, we got to get better. Because if not, you know, you're going to get beat. And so that's, you know, more of a challenge than what we want. So.
Well, and it has them playing in front of more people, too. And I think anytime you play in a gym that's got a lot of people in it,
much more fun. Atmosphere is fun.
It preps you and, yeah.
And, you know, like last year, I think, and I'm sure the kids will be absolutely fabulous again this year. You know, your senior, the leadership last year on both sides, you know, it just seemed like it was, when we had a big game, those guys, the student body was fantastic last year. Fun, absolutely fun to watch. They came up with great ideas, you know, and I'm sure that's going to happen again this year. And
well, not even just at home. I mean, Vercel's game, you know, probably one of the biggest changes for me as a coach was going from the boys to the girls was the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're fortunate enough here that most times, you know, when you go play to other places, the atmosphere is horrible.
Yeah.
You know, there's some gyms you go to, there's no students. Their crowd is dead, you know, you can hear every conversation, and you know, those just aren't the greatest of places to play.
No.
It's hard to get motivated when there's nothing going on or excitement. And you know, for our student section, you know, last year we were playing at Vercel's, and it was so loud out by our student section, not by theirs, but by ours, and they were right behind our bench that our kids couldn't even hear us on the floor, you know, trying to call sets or defenses changes and things out. And so, you know, we're trying to yell and scream just so the kids could hear us out there. And, you know, most times for girls, you know, games, you don't get that. And so that was just a neat atmosphere. And, you know, you can think of all the kind of things that we've had with Black Santa, with Darren Scheffler at games, helping with stuff of, you know, he loves that because he comes in, and him and Chase Bruns actually practice with us every day, that, you know, right now. And, you know, he brought that up the other day actually about how he got a girl to laugh so hard she missed a free throw and just different things like that. So.
That is, I mean, doing the announcing, you're over there laughing a lot. It's hard to announce some of that stuff. Me and Bob are laughing wide open. Hey, Chuck, want to take a break?
Yeah.
We can take a break. We'll come back here in about 5 minutes and talk a little bit more basketball.
The Feed and Animal Division of Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery, Ohio has an array of employment opportunities available. We are looking for eager, dedicated, and skilled individuals to join our team. A list of employment opportunities can be found online at cooperfarms.com or by calling 419-375-4116. Cooper Farms is more than a workplace and offers a wonderful benefits package, including a free on-site medical facility, a monthly gain-sharing bonus program, paid time off, and much, much more. Contact us today about joining our team.
Hastings Auto Sales, south of the stoplight in downtown Fort Recovery, specializes in clean, low-mileage used vehicles like this one. The 2014 Chrysler Town & Country with the Touring L package. It's white with gray leather interior, dual power seats, navigation system, remote starter, and lots more. It has 18,000 miles, and it's priced at only $23,800. Hastings is open weekdays from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 7:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. And Hastings is now open on Tuesday evenings until 8. Hastings Auto Sales, 375-4617.
Stop in at Tin Man's on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. Get our all-you-can-eat chicken dinner for only $6.95. Try our famous 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95. Add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both come with a jumbo baked potato and large salad bar. You don't have to drive out of town to get a great meal at a great price. Just stop in at Tin Man's in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
Season tickets for the 2016-17 boys and girls basketball season are available now in the high school office. The girls' season has started, and the boys' season starts on Friday, December 9th. If you haven't had a season ticket in the past, this year is a good time to get yours. There's still some pretty good seats left in the lower level, so stop in at the high school office between 7:45 a.m. and 4 p.m. on school days to get your reserved seat for the boys' basketball season.
Slow song.
Just like Christmas is here, boys. December tomorrow. Can't beat it. December tomorrow, Christmas time.
Just singing.
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Her new album.
A little special.
The smooth, melodic tone of Kelly Clarkson.
She's smooth. We're here with Mr. Jack Stogler and Coach Brian Patch, along with Rock. And our main man on the board back there, Chucky Roar. All right, Coach. How about your seniors? Who you got back?
Whitney Will, Jossie Kaiser, and Audra Metzger.
Solid. Solid class.
Yep. Yeah, great group of kids on the floor and off the floor and great personalities. So,
you got, I think I read Whit signed.
Yep, she signed with St. Francis.
St. Francis, going to play a little ball afterwards. That's awesome.
Yep. And then Jossie's just waiting on December 1st. She's getting a, which is tomorrow, obviously, but she's getting a lot of Division III schools and looking at her. And their financial aid packages and stuff can't come out until December 1st. So once that comes out tomorrow, she'll know exactly how much she's going to get.
What she can get and stuff.
And then she'll have a better idea where she wants to go. But
good.
I think I got it figured out where she's going to pick. So
good.
You know, I tell you what, it's kind of neat. You know, I'm you know, Jossie's neighbor, you know, and to watch her ever since she was a little tight.
You knew she was going to be a good athlete. Yeah,
you know what? I mean, when she was seven, she was dribbling the ball behind her back, you know, and stuff. And I thought, it's like, she keeps working at this. And here it is probably 10 or 11 years later, and she's, you know, part of a hell of a team and you know, getting opportunities to play at the next level. So that's great. Cool. It really is.
It's great to look back to and see all that hard work that you put in and pay off, not just by the kids, but also by the parents. Because, you know, both of them have played, you know, a lot of AAU. And so parents and families have adjusted that and, you know, their schedule and life and, you know, spent money and traveling and all that kind of stuff. And so it's nice to see all that work pay off.
That is awesome. Well, they both have been fun to watch. First 3 years they played, and I know Whitney looked tremendous at the end of the year last year, and same with Josh. Who else we got? We got your junior classes.
Junior class is Grace Ten, Carly Stone, and then Kyle Wendell.
All three. Lots of time. Letterman last year, probably.
Yeah, Carly and Grace have been playing since the freshman year. Grace has started every game for us since her freshman year. Carly came up a few games into it and started playing right away. And Kaya last year was her first year. As a sixth man, she still logged around 20 minutes, so she got a lot of time.
I tell you what, her game improved a bunch from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, I thought.
And for her, it's all about her confidence. You know, if she just plays with confidence and, you know, she has some skills and abilities, you know, she's fast as any kid on the floor that anyone would put out there. And, you know, just for her, it's just a confidence thing. If she comes out and is confident, does some stuff well, then she's going to be really solid. You know, she gets down on herself. She's her biggest critic. And so
she does get mad.
Yeah. Sometimes a little more than we want her to. But, you know, that's a work in progress. And,
you know what? That's a competition thing.
And that's the thing. I guess the good part about coaching girls is you don't have to say a whole lot because they usually yell at themselves. themselves more than you ever have to. And like I said, that's something we've been trying to work on a couple of them with, just because they get so down. We're trying to get them that next play mentality where, hey, you're going to screw up. You're going to make mistakes. That's just sports.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just got to learn to overcome them and how you're going to respond and go from there. So.
Yeah. One play's not going to kill you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and tell you what, it seemed like, you know, watching Carly Stone, first of all, it seemed like she always has a smile on her face. She brings a certain energy to the floor, you know.
Yeah.
And she finds herself in the middle of things as soon as she, you know, steps on the floor, the way it seems. So she's, you know, it just seemed like she's always involved.
Yeah, she is. And she's done really well for us. You know, she was kind of a little emotional at times last year, too. And, you know, being a junior, and now, like I said, this is her third year, our point guard. Yeah, and so we've kind of talked to her about, you know, you can't let, you know, that emotion get to you, because it will affect you. Like I said, you're going to make a mistake. So you make one, don't let it keep making, you know, another one and another one and another one and add to it. You know, she's done a better job of that, and you know, that's what we told her, is, you know, we're go as you go, being our kind of our floor leader out there and our coach on the floor. And she's really worked hard at doing that so far in the preseason, and she's playing more under control and not getting rattled. And
she had a lot of foul trouble last year.
Yeah,
and she's taking a risk, you know, playing aggressive.
But. Yeah, and that was something we kind of talked to her about this year as well, is being a little more smart defensively and that kind of stuff. And so hopefully that. All the listening or talking we're doing, she listens and pays off.
I'm sure. Well, I would assume you're probably going to do some pressing here and there and put a little pressure on with those Kaya and her.
Yeah, we'll
both pick quick girls, and
we'll pick times here and there. I mean, we're not real deep. We only have 13 kids in the whole program, and so, you know, right now we're looking at 6 kids because Audrey's hurt. She broke her thumb or finger, and she's out until at least next week sometime.
She's got a week setback.
You know, we got 5 of the upperclassmen, and then Brooke Collick, who's a freshman, she's going to be dressed and playing for us right now with the varsity, and you know, we had intentions of playing her some anyway, but with Audrey out, that took her strictly off the JV, and now she's with us until Audrey gets back. And then so, you know, with having, you know, short numbers, you know, we'll have to pick and choose kind of our spots where we can press at, but we definitely want to do some of that, just because we are very athletic. So
so how do you explain the low numbers? Because, you know what, when you look at past years, we've had success. You know, it's not like we're fielding a 2-19 team every year. So, you know, how do you explain that?
Well, it's a trend right now in girls basketball. I mean, everywhere we go for scrimmages to, you know, just talking with our coaches, we have District 8 meetings, so we're in the, you know, basically our county all the way up north, to about Findlay or so, all Glace County, so on, with some of the MAC teams up, you know, all of our coaches, we have a district meeting, so we meet a couple times in the preseason, and I'm sitting there with some of those coaches, talking to them and asking those same questions. Hey, how many people do you guys have? You know, we'll play Walpock on Saturday as a Division II school, and they have 14 kids.
No kidding.
Wow.
St. John's has 13. You know, and those are teams who've had a lot of success.
Yeah.
Who won state in the last 10 years or so, and, you know, the numbers are just low everywhere. There's a lot of teams on our schedule that we play that don't have a JV team. And
we kind of seen that last year. That's really surprising.
That's strange. I mean, it really is.
And it's starting to be, like I say, it's becoming a growing trend in girls basketball. And, you know, a lot of it is, it's for girls, it's hard. It's hard work. It's a lot of running up and down the floor. You know, our society's changed a little bit. To be honest, where we coddle kids anymore, you know, it's everyone, everything easy in life. We don't want to have to work for anything. You know, everything's a handout. You know, it's entitlement, Titus kind of stuff. And it's, hey, what are you going to give me? And, you know, it's, hey, I got to work for that. I don't want to do that. You know, and that's kind of where we're at right now. And so, you know, you can ask every coach and they're going to tell you they get a lot of the same responses. It's just hard work. And to be good at basketball is a sport you can't just go pick up.
Well,
you just can't do it every once in a while. You got to spend a lot of time doing it. And the kids are they just don't want to do it. They don't want to spend that time in the off season to be good. And then if they're not good, they don't want to do it, because then it's no longer fun. You know, if you're not good at it, it's not fun. Well, to be good at it, you got to put some work into it. And,
absolutely.
And that's the good thing that they don't understand, is they're missing out on life lessons.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, work is not always going to be fun. And, you know, to have success, it's not going to be fun. You know, you got to put a little bit of work and roll your sleeves up and go to work. And, you know, and unfortunately, we're in that time where it's just not the case. And so, you know, I think sports can do a lot for kids. And like I said, I just think we're kind of missing the boat on some of that. But
I also think that there's a few more options that kids have, too.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's, yeah, I mean, there's only so many kids, and the classes aren't as big as they used to be. So, so it's,
I remember, I mean,
it's a challenge.
I mean, in Kelsey's class, too, I remember when junior high, they won two championships, probably had 12 kids, and I think graduated three when they were seniors.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I think that just happens. I think, like you said, I mean, they get to the point of how much work do I want to put in, and, you know, and, you know, I don't know, does the volleyball come into play? I know they do a lot of club volleyball. It kind of runs into basketball a little bit, too.
I mean, it probably is some of it, you know, I think.
But most of it's weekends, isn't it, or Sunday?
Yeah, it is, and, you know, kids want a break, and, you know, we have some kids that, you know, have played a lot of our kids that were on our basketball team play volleyball, and they play club volleyball. And so, you know, we've had kids, you know, my daughter included, you know, we have a lot of a couple freshmen who have, you know, I know in the past, like Carly Stone's an example of one, Kai Windows an example of one. They play club during basketball, do basketball. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like Olivia and Val Mullenkamp's another example. You know, Carly's one, they also played AAU. So they were doing basketball, AAU, and club all at the same time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess it's just, you know, what you want to get out of it, how hard you want to work. And I mean, because it's possible to do it, because like I said, those kids were basically playing three sports.
And you got to love sports. I mean, I mean, you do have to love the game. And you see the girls that are doing that, they love all the games. You know, that's what's fun. And the key thing about that is they're playing. It's playing. It's fun. Well, and if you're not working, you're playing.
And, you know, I guess I look at it, you know, we would love to have more kids, you know, out. But at the same time, the kids we have there want to be there, and they work hard, and they get after it, and it's enjoyable coaching them, because you don't have kids that mom and dad are making be there.
Yeah.
And those kids, like I say, they want to get better, they want to listen, they want to be coached, and they want to play, and that makes it fun too. So
sure. So while we're talking about our kids, how about the rest of the program?
Class-wise, we're down to one sophomore, and that's Aaliyah Jenkins. And so that gives us one there. Then we're at freshman-wise.
That's a freshman class.
Yeah, we're at six freshmen. We have Olivia, and we have Val Mullenkamp. We have, and she'll play some varsity for us as well this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Brooke Colleague, and then we have Macy Day, and then we have Liddy Winning, and then Chloe Showalter.
Good nucleus.
So, yeah, pretty. Actually,
and I watched. I got to get up and watch your daughter play a couple times here last year. And I mean, the girls you have there are going to be good. And I guess the one thing it's you do kind of hate that they're down in numbers, but the girls that are there are going to get a lot of playing time,
right?
So they'll get better.
Well, and we're excited about our freshman group, because, like I said, they've had some success going through. They play hard. They're pretty skilled for them. It's just about trying to continue to get better and working hard, and you know, showing signs of improvement. So,
yeah.
Hey, Coach, I got a question for
you. Yes, Rocker.
The Rock.
What is the pros and cons of coaching your own kids?
Well, to be honest, I haven't coached her yet. So, as far as on at the high school level,
she really didn't want to play for you. She got sick on purpose.
Yeah.
Said, I do not want to play for my dad.
you know, we kind of have a thing that she and I just decided on, that, when we're in the gym, it's a coach and a player. And then when we go home, it's, you know, father, daughter. You know, I know she hadn't been around as much lately, but, you know, we don't go home and talk about basketball, really. You know, she went scouting the other night with me a little bit to watch one of her friends play. And we just kind of sat there, and, you know, on the way up, we listened to Christmas music. On the way back, we listened to a basketball game. And, you know, besides, there really wasn't much talk about basketball the whole way up to Lima and back. And so, you know, I just, you know, when she's at home, she's a kid, and I let her be a kid. And so, you know, from that standpoint, you know, we don't bring the basketball part home. So it's, you know, she's just like all the other kids when she goes home. And like I said, I don't bug her about it. You know, anything, it's probably been more about, hey, how you feeling?
Sure.
How's your hand? How you doing? You know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's fun. Like today, I came into school and walked into practice, and I said, hey, how's your day? And she kind of smiled and said, good, Dad, how's yours? And I said, good. And so we talked a little bit. And
get a rebound.
And then it was like, all right, let's go.
You know,
and so,
let's go, box out.
You know, I'm sure, you know, she's one, though, that she can take it. You know, if I get on her, she's not going to hold it against me.
No problem.
You know, she's not going to come home and be mad and throw a tantrum or whatever and never speak to me again. And so, you know, she's good about
but
that.
But are you?
Am I going to be mad at her? Yeah. There's a chance. You know, and, well, and that's the hard part is it's you know, for like I said, for me, I've really tried to make sure that, you know, I don't, to bring that home and constantly harping on her about stuff. Yeah. And because I, you know, that's not fair for her. And so, and like I say, it'll be interesting because just because that really hasn't happened
yet. You haven't got to do it yet.
As we go through it, it could change a little bit with some of that. But
I tell you, I feel like when you had me as a coach and I coached Cody, you feel like you're harder on your kid. Because, you know I can get away with yelling at my kid and I can do whatever you want, you know. But, you know, and I felt like that's, and I don't know that he never said anything that was like, you know, you were an ass, you know, whatever. You know, I couldn't stand it. But you do seem like you tend to push your kid harder. And I, you know, it seemed to me like when a kid, he was the first one I always pulled out, you know, because I tried to get people playing time. I wasn't worried about getting his playing time, you know, get somebody else in there. And
even though I told you to keep playing.
Yeah.
Well, and that's probably true. I mean, like I said, that's something I haven't had to deal with yet. And as far as that, but, you know, as a coach, and you know that, Harold, that, you know, you've done enough with basketball and baseball. I mean, you truly care about all the kids, and all the kids sure. are really like your own kids. And you know, sometimes that may sound
that's a great statement.
Cliche, and you know, people may think, oh, he's just joking; he doesn't really mean it, but you really do.
That's a great statement.
And
that's true.
And so, you know, you don't want to hurt any of the kids, or you know, what your intentions are always for the best of the kids, and so. You know, it feels like, you know, every year, you know, you always gain more kids in your family because you do truly care about the kids.
Yeah.
And so, as far as that goes, like I said, I told him this week, you know, it's almost like having 13 daughters, you know, really. So.
Yeah, you're with them all the time. So.
Right.
That's a good deal. Let's take another break.
Sounds good.
Let's pay some bills. We'll be right back with Bubba and Feed.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Farmers looking for a true vertical tillage tool that can run at high speeds and size residue without ridging are turning to the Great Plains TurboMax. The TurboMax is the vertical tillage tool for all seasons. It allows the operator to hydraulically adjust gang angles to deliver the desired residue coverage. See the all-new TurboMax from Great Plains at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery today. Or visit us at knltractor.com. K&L Tractor and Great Plains. Harvest starts here.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Have you been getting a lot of calls from a little boy?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have.
That's my son. He always talks about how you have something for everyone.
We do, with insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual.
Derek.
Yes, Mom.
You've got to stop bothering those nice folks at work.
But, Mom, I love talking to them.
Well, I would love it if you would finish your chores before you start making phone calls.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Visit the 47-acre campground at Rossburg Acres. There are plenty of permanent and short-term camping sites available with water and electric hookups. Call 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 to make your reservations. If you are planning a party or a get-together, there are two large shelter houses available for rent on Sundays. One of these is sure to meet your needs. Make sure your reservations are in advance by calling 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 or visit RossburgAcres.com.
It's basketball season, and Fort Recovery Radio will bring you all the games live.
Every varsity game and every JV game, both boys and girls, will be heard live on Fort Recovery Radio. The girls have two games this week, and the action starts this Thursday evening as the girls host the Crestview Knights. Darian Sheffer, Chase Bruns, and Reese Rogers will bring you all the JV action starting at 6. Then Kurt Gruby and Steve Stone will have all the varsity action from Fort Sight Fieldhouse. Then on Saturday, we'll be simulcasting WPGW's coverage with Rob Weaver from Wapakoneta for the girls' varsity game. And Darian, Chase, and Reese will bring you the JV game starting at noon. Don't miss the beginning of this year's basketball season. Thursday, the girls host Crestview with the JV game starting at 6. Then on Saturday, they travel to Wapakoneta with the JV game starting at noon. All the JV and varsity games, boys and girls, can be heard live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too.
Oh, that's Karen Carpenter again.
The Carpenters.
No.
For a sleigh ride together with you. We're kind of holiday on the old Buffalo Fee show today.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Jack.
Chucky's in the mood.
Yeah, I love Karen Carpenter.
Karen Carpenter's awesome.
Yeah. It's after Thanksgiving. I can be now.
Yep.
That's
you're right. Good to get
it. Hey, Jack. You know what Bill said about Karen Carpenter?
Chancellor wasn't very nice.
She needs a meal.
Yeah. Say without a doubt.
Well, we're back here. Coach Patch. Coach Allen, this is your third year starting at the girls?
Yeah.
Third year. So far, what's the expectation so far? Not bad? Your first two?
You mean just being with the girls?
Yeah. How's that working?
All right. A little more gray hair on my, around, if you've noticed. But
what's the biggest difference?
It's got to be something.
Not sure exactly. And there's a lot of differences between coaching boys and girls. Some of it's the same and some of it's different.
I still see you on the sidelines. You're doing a lot of yelling. So they're not too scared of you.
It's not yelling. It's coaching.
Coaching. That's right.
Wow. There's a big difference.
Let me ask you, because I don't think there's any doubt that the speed of the game and the physicality is different. Okay.
Yep.
Is the playbook, I'll call it, somewhat simplified in girls than is boys?
Yeah. If you've watched us coach over the years for the boys, there would be times we came out on a Friday night, and it would change stuff, and then on a Saturday be completely different. An example I can think of is we played a big game, and we always, our always preparation was Monday through Thursday prep for the Friday night MAC game, because that was always the most important game.
Sure. Yep.
And then Saturday through walkthrough in the morning, we would go through our game plan for Saturday night's game. And that was the only time we ever spent on Saturday night, was just that. There might be, occasional drill or two here or there we would add in for during the week to help get us ready for Saturday, even though the kids didn't know we were doing it. But, it was always Friday night. And I remember we played Northmont. You remember when they came to our place and played, and they were really athletic, and that was when we had Wade and Pig and those guys. And we put a 3-2 zone in. In the walkthrough in the morning, which we had not played at all. And we put it in for about 10 minutes that morning and went out and actually played it really well. Yeah. And it was like, well, let's try it again. So we tried it again the next couple of games and had some success with it. For the girls, a lot of it is, I think, they just don't watch the game as much as the boys. They don't play it as often as a younger age, and so they don't understand or know the game as well. And so you can't be changing things up. To be honest, that made scouting really easy. Because for the one thing we've always tried to do is be the most prepared. For example, we played Marion local Pig senior year, and it was for the MAC championship. It was game number 22. Coach Hubbard and Coach Vaughn and myself had watched all 21 games previously of Marion local. And we wanted to make sure we had everything prepared as far as player personnel, what they were going to do. And so we were hoping we would get no surprises. You know, for girls, you watch one game early in the year, watch one maybe in the middle, one at the end, and you're probably going to know what they're going to do because it's not going to change.
A lot of changes.
And just so it has a hard time of doing that. Now, for us, we still kind of have some of that philosophy. We always changed how we played on how we thought we had to beat that opponent. And that's kind of how I've always coached. We never just, okay, this is how we're going to be. Because sometimes you don't have a team to play that way. And so I always thought that was stupid. You know, if you had a team that could press, you know, go press. You know, some years you have teams that you can't do that. And so you had to play a zone or different things. And so we've always adjusted, you know, not just from season to season, but also sometimes game to game on a Friday to a Saturday. And so for the girls, we haven't done as much of that. And to be honest, that kind of takes away some of the fun a little bit. Because as a coach, that's the fun part, sure, is preparing for some of that. Even though we still have done it a few times. And so, I mean, that part is different, but it's still coaching, it's still basketball. But like you say, some of it's simplified. Our philosophy when we came in was, you know, don't try to change the big stuff, change the little stuff, because it will make a bigger impact down the road. And so we spent a lot of time on the fundamental part of it, of, you know, just catching the ball, squaring up, being low, triple threat with it, you know, just little details that would make a bigger difference for us. And so, you know, to be honest, it's almost like coaching, you know, a junior high boys team at the level as far as what you work on and what you concentrate, you know, and that might offend some people, but to be honest, that's kind of where it's at as far as the level of skills and different things like that you do.
So I always feel like that as in a girls program, if you can get a girl to play like a guy, they're always good. I mean, if you watch the girls that are really good, they play like the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they know to take the ball hard to the hole, and they take charges. They do everything, which is, you know, and you see a few of them. I mean, and I think your program right now, you've got some girls that are going to be that way. They're going to be pretty darn good.
Well, the one thing when I took over the job, when it actually came open, Diane McClung is a good friend of mine, and I actually called her up and was like, hey, why don't you take the job? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I tried to get her to take it, and she didn't want to do it because she was retiring, and yeah, she just didn't want to, you know, stay around. She wanted to be able to do a lot of different things. And so finally I ended up taking it. But when I sat and talked to her about it, you know, her comment to me was, don't change how you coach. The best team, she said, over the years I've ever seen with girls had guy coaches.
Yeah.
And she said, treat them like you would your boys teams. You know, treat them like you would your guys. Because she said, over the years, those were the hardest teams I ever had to play against.
Yeah.
Were the teams coached by men, because they expected the girls to play like guys.
Yeah.
And so when I got into it the first year, every time I talked to a coach, it was basically picking their brain. And you'd actually be surprised how many guy or girls coaches now actually coach guys at one point and went over to girls. Some of them say that, I'll change when I can.
Right.
And some of them say they'll never change.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they actually enjoy it better. Because it's, you know, the one bad part, you know, Jack, you'd ask about as guys, is it got to the point sometimes where, you know, they thought they knew everything because they've been playing it for a while. That's kind of the downfall. They watch it so much that, you know, I already know that. I don't have to listen to you. Well, yeah, the girls want to listen. They want to, you know, they want to do it. They want to please you. And so they want to do what's right. And so, you know, that was a difference. And so that was one of the advices Diane gave, was just, hey, don't change how you coach them. Coach them like you would your guys team. If you can get them to play like guys, like you said, Harold,
you're going to win.
Then she said, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yep.
And so, you know, we started doing that, and that's kind of how we've always done it. I'll never forget that we were at Arcanum, and Frankie Tin shows up to watch Grace play, and he goes, after the game, he goes, hey, coach, I got one piece of advice. You're no longer coaching guys. He said, there's not thousands of people in the gym. You don't have to yell as loud. And it's okay, Frank. But, you know, that was, you know, that's like you say, a lot of it, and like I said earlier, was, you know, it's not that we're mad at the kids, but during the guys' games, you couldn't hear.
Right.
And so, you know, especially at the fort, I mean, there was times I walked out of there and I'm soaked. I had to go home and shower because I was sweating so bad. And it wasn't because of your nerves, because of the atmosphere and the electricity in the gym that you just felt. And, you know, you had to yell constantly to, you know, to be kids could hear you. And so, you know, I still do that when I'm in the gym and, you know, I talk really loud so the kids can hear. I'm in that way in the classroom all the time still too. You know, that way no one can say, well, I didn't hear you. Cause if you didn't hear me, then you got some ear problems. You know, there's something going on because, you know, you probably weren't listening cause I talk loud so you can hear. And so a lot of times, you know, and then that's the other thing too with the girls. Part of it is you know, when I talk like that, they think, man, coach just grossed me out. And it's like, I'm not even mad.
No.
And I'm not even mad at all. It's just, I'm trying to correct what you're doing wrong. And sometimes, you know, they take it like, oh man, he's really yelling at me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, no, we're not mad at all. We're just trying to get you to do the right things. And so, you know, that's kind of adjustment we've had to make, but.
So how about, go ahead. So how about touched on the rest of your staff? Who's your staff this year?
Jeff Vaughn is varsity assistant, and he and I have been together now since 2010, so 9 and 10. So going on 6 years. And then Chelsea Rogers moved up to JV coach from 8th grade last year to JV coach this year. And then our 8th grade coach is Val Fortcamp, which, by the way, she got her first win last night as a coach in her coaching career. So that was, I think, fun for her. And then Mandy Mullenkamp is our 7th grade coach. She's been there for 3 years. So
pretty talented squad.
Yeah. You know, Mandy does a great job as a 7th grade coach. You know, she's had some coaching experience previously and played Division One, and obviously was on our state teams and knows a lot about the game. And she's just really good fundamentally and also with the kids. And so, you know, I've kept her there at that spot. She kind of likes that just because of her young kids and stuff. But it's nice to have a coach down there who you can rely on and trust and does a great job. You don't have to worry about being down there as much that way. And then Val has came in and has really been energetic. And, you know, she's been a sponge trying to, you know, soak up everything she can. And I think she really enjoys it. Yeah. And so hopefully she'll be doing it for a while because, you know, that's the hardest part, is trying to get people to do it and want to put that time in. And because it is a lot of time and effort, you know, away from your family and kids and things like
that. And it's not a huge moneymaker.
No, you don't get a lot of money. And of course, you're not coaching for the money. Right. But it's still, you know, it's the biggest part is just the family part, how much you're gone and how much you actually invest in it. And so she's still young yet, not married or anything with kids. And so, you know, right now she wants to do it. So hopefully she'll continue doing it for a while. So.
And it's neat, like, you know, you get a Mandy who's got the teaching experience and at the, you know, 7th grade level, it is all about teaching.
Right. Oh, my God. Yep.
And that's in. So you touched on your philosophies from coaching and stuff and how, you know, certain teams you might press more, that type of thing. So with the group that you've got now, what are your strengths that you'll rely on week in and week out?
Well, one of the strengths is the experience now. You know, this is our third year. The great thing about it now is when we're in practice, we don't have to stop and explain every single thing anymore. You know, the kids now understand what we want. We were actually just talking about this the other day, how nice it is when you come into practice, there's just a great flow. You know, we only go an hour and a half. For actual practice time. On Mondays, we actually go 2 hours. We have like a half hour of that. We do just basically mental part. We sit and talk kind of as a team and as a program with our stuff. But we only go an hour and a half. And in that hour and a half, though, there's very few breaks and it's no dead time. And, you know, the kids, from a conditioning standpoint, we were playing actually a team that's in a scrimmage. They had 10 kids on the varsity and they were basically going 5 in, 5 out, and they were dead, and our 6 were ready to go.
No problem.
I mean, it was no problem. And so, you know, the conditioning part of it is not a big deal. And so it makes it nice that way because they understand, you know, like, you know, today in practice I said, hey, came over real quick, drew up a play to start off in a little scrimmage we were doing with the JV team. And I said, hey, remember, this is what we did last year with Kendra. I said, this is what we're going to run this year, except for what that's going to be you. And so I go, yeah. So they went out there and were just able to do those things. Yeah. So hopefully as the season, you know, our time with the girls are there and it progresses, you know, we can do a little more of those adjustments because they're going to know our expectations and, you know, how we want to do things. So I think that's a big part is the experience. But I think we're really athletic.
You are very athletic.
Yeah. You know, we went this summer and we played in some of the summer shootouts and stuff, and we were playing Division One teams and we were just absolutely drilling them. And so, you know, a couple of coaches were, you know, around watching us. And so we were actually Ohio Dominican with a whole bunch of Columbus schools that were Division One. And then like us in Fort Laramie were basically one of the smaller teams there. And everybody else was like, say, Division One or two. As we were playing throughout the day, you know, everyone thought they were going to kill us. Well, then as it kept going and we were winning by 30 and 30 and 20 and all this stuff, at the end of the day we were there, all the teams around the court watching us play, which was kind of neat.
Cool. That is neat.
And so, you know, when we were there, I mean, it's nice having the college coaches there watching our games too. When they get done, they come over and we talk a little bit and it was like, okay, we're definitely going to be in touch. Yeah. And so that kind of gives you an idea of some of the kids we have on our team. And so, you know, I think we're definitely guard oriented, with our guards that we have and, you know, like I say, really athletic. Witt's really our only post player that we have and she's not really a post player. But she's there just because we have nobody else. But we'll run some different stuff to try to get her more on the outside where she can be a nightmare, a matchup for people. I definitely think our strengths, our guards, and us, our ability to shoot the ball. So far in our scrimmages, we're shooting 45% from three-point range, so which is really good. And we also have the ability with Carly and Kaya to be able to get in the paint because they're pretty athletic. And so, you know, we can get in there and hopefully cause some damage with penetration as well. So
still dribble driving?
Yep.
A lot of that?
Yep. Yep.
How about on the boards? Might be a challenge.
Well, maybe a little bit. You know, that's the other thing too is, you know, like Crestview, their post player's 5'8". And so, you know, there's not too many 6'2 girls around. You know, first couple years, you know, we were huge for girls. You know, like our first year, we started basically 3 6-footers and a 6'2 girl. And so, you know, we were really big and we played a lot of 3-2 zones. So we could put our hands out and almost cover the whole entire 3-point line with those girls. And so, last year we were similar to that, you know, so this year we're going to be a little smaller from what we've been. So we'll be hopefully a little more athletic from that standpoint. But, you know, we rebound really well. We have some tough kids. You know, Carly, when she puts her mind to it, goes in there and can out-rebound post players anyway because she can jump and is athletic. And
isn't that really, though? I mean, for you, Coach, don't you feel like that a great athletic player is going to get out-rebound a big girl for the most part? I mean, they're going to be quicker. You know, they're going to get after it. It's just a matter of getting them to get after it.
Well, the one thing about rebounding is that's called desire.
You got to want it.
Right. You know, Dennis Rodman was 6'8", playing in the NBA with a whole bunch of 7-footers back then, more so than there are now. And, you know, he led the...
Got every rebound.
Yeah, he led it because he just, you know, I just watched the 30 for 30 special on him the other day, and he was like, I just wanted it more. And he just went after it. And so, you know, rebounding is that desire and want it. And, you know, so, you know, it's maybe a little concerning if we play some bigger teams, but for the most part, we're still going to be just as big as everybody else. And you know, like I said, it just comes down to wanting it and going to get it. So.
Sure. Really?
So if you look at the MAC, or should we ask about the MAC after the break?
Yep, one more break. What do you think?
Yep. Chuck, you ready?
What do you think? It's about 5 to 9. We'll be right back with Coach Patch to talk a little more basketball.
Fowler Mechanical, your local Bryant dealer, would like to help you keep your home comfortable all season long. So whether it's a quick fix or time for something new, Fowler Mechanical has a team of professionals that can help. They offer a full lineup of efficient, energy-saving Bryant heating and cooling system options that can help you save money in the long run. So give them a call at Fowler Mechanical and see what they can do for you. Fowler Mechanical, 375-2410. Bryant, whatever it takes. Good luck, Indians.
Are you planning a building project? Let B&D Contracting help you with your plans. Get together with Dave Kalp and discuss your plans and construction schedule. B&D Contracting also does remodeling and can build your commercial, agricultural, or steel building in addition to their custom-built homes. Call Dave today at 419-234-2976 and schedule your construction project. B&D Contracting is a proud athletic supporter.
Are you looking to change your career or become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. Would you like to know more about the positions and benefits Cooper Farms has to offer? Visit our website at cooperfarms.com or stop by 2321 State Route 49, Fort Recovery, Ohio, and ask to speak with an HR representative. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Breakfast with Bill every weekday morning right here on FortRecoveryRadio.com.
Jody Stauber.
If she's dipped in chocolate.
If she was dipped in chocolate, then Bubba would be licking that white
pill. Come on.
That's legal. She's a big chocolate. I mean, she'd be licking her arm.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rod.
Jeez.
Bubba likes chocolate. Okay. Bubba likes chocolate.
Okay. Oh, God.
Better.
Goodbye Christmas.
Yeah.
What is it?
He said goodbye Christmas. We're
good. Goodbye Christmas. Well, the times are getting hard for
you, little girl. I'm a humming and a strumming all over God. You know it.
It's a Motley, isn't it?
You can't remember
what Gray White.
Gray White.
Gray White. And you don't know just how. Once bitten.
Once bitten.
Twice shot.
You betcha. It's my day. You met my
drummer on the great. See, my day was a Letterman. Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. Can't beat it.
Seeing both of those in concert.
Woo-hoo.
At St. Mary's. Let's see, was it called McBroom?
McBroom?
Yeah.
Yep.
And both of those guys had concerts in St. Mary's.
Concerts in St. Mary's?
Yes.
That's big.
That's big.
That is big. Okay.
S-R-O for both of them.
I bet so.
They Barry Manilow and the Letterman sold out.
42 people sold out.
And that had to be loud because that was all brick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they rocked the place.
They were jamming.
Yeah. When, like, Barry jumped into you and Mandy, I tell you what, the whole place about came down.
Yeah, I bet you. I bet you.
They call that country concert now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back here, 901. We're on the Brick Street. We're talking girls basketball with Coach Patch. Coach, how long you been here now?
14 years.
14 years.
Started when you were just a pup.
Yeah.
Holy cannoli.
I was young back then.
You were young back then.
I'll be 40 this year, so.
Oh, that's a big one. 40's big.
4-0.
Yeah.
I remember your 30th.
Yeah, so I. I'm sure your wife doesn't want to bring that
up. Yeah, that was an inside joke. 40 will be better.
Hopefully.
Life begins at 40.
There you go.
You betcha.
Well, let's just turn 40 and you win a MAC championship.
That'd be nice.
MAC championship.
So let's talk about the MAC. You know, I'm sure we're a player, but who's the favorites, or who's at least the ones in the upper echelon?
Well, I mean, as you know, in every sport, you know, the MAC is always going to be tough, and you always got to play well and be prepared for it. You know, you can't take a break in any game. But of those teams, you know, I think Menster and Vercells and probably us would be the favorites maybe early on. New Bremen lost Paige Jones, who was the player of the year as a sophomore. I'm not sure how much that's ever happened, have the player of the year as a sophomore not return and play. But so that maybe hurts them a little bit. You know, otherwise, they might be up there with her because she's pretty good. But, you know, there's some other teams. You know, Coldwater, you know, you got to play well against them. And St. John's, you know, everyone has some nice players that if you come out and don't play hard and focused, you know, they have a chance to, you know, that you can get beat. Yeah, so, but just looking, you know, of course, on paper, you know, a lot of people know that Minster is always traditionally good. And, you know, that they'll probably be one of the favorites. And then Vercells is always up there as well. And, you know, I would think we would be up there as well. So,
Minster, like a new coach, right?
Yep. Nan had
shut her down.
Yep, retired, and they actually had gotten hired one of their former players that was from like Finland or someplace like that.
And she quit.
And then, well, she couldn't get in. She couldn't get a visa to get back in. And so Mike had turned down the job, I think twice. Actually accepted it and turned it down like 2 days later. Mm-hmm. And then, because his wife basically said, "You're not doing baseball and basketball." And so even though he's been the JV coach, but you know, a little bit different being the head coach with a little more time.
A little more time.
But that should provide for some new continuity in you know, what they coach and stuff. So you probably not a whole lot of difference.
Probably
there.
A lot of mystery.
Well, he's been there with her, I think, for 20-some years. Yeah. So it's not like, you know.
Like he's bringing her in a different system.
Right, and we play them on game 21. So it's, you know, they got the whole year.
I'll be dialed in. Right. And by the way, Versailles and Minster both away.
Well, that's the whole thing with the MAC is we played them away last year as well.
Yeah.
You know, we beat Versailles last year, actually on my birthday. We beat them, and then that came down to us and Minster in the final game. And actually, we had two them, and then we had New Knoxville after that. But, you know, we came down to us two being at the top, and if we beat them, then we would have had a chance to win it.
So they beat us.
But
why is that? They just realign
every 2 years.
2 years they realign
the football realignment stuff.
So that realigns the basketball too.
Yeah, I mean, with Versailles, they start their tournament a week earlier. So every 2 years you flip it because they already play a MAC game before everybody else does. They have to.
To get in the tournament.
So, you know, because of that, they do a rotation of the schedule. But then by doing that, you also then have to play the same teams on the road
back-to-back,
which kind of stinks.
That kind of stinks, yeah.
Which I'm not sure why. Okay, I understand flipping it as far as the schedule. You know, everyone rotating, so you're not always stuck playing Versailles first a week early.
Yeah.
But why do we have to do the back-to-back on the road?
Why would the home? Yeah.
Right. Why does that matter?
I wouldn't think that would matter either.
Yeah, I don't get that one either, but that's a Digger question.
I'm going to call Digger on that one, Commish.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have those teams at home this year.
Yeah, we got the two dummies away. But we're just going to be a tough road team anyhow, so it won't matter. Won't matter. So, yeah, I mean, you put a lot of time in here. You got, what, you said 14 years you've been coaching?
Yep.
What's your favorite game that you can remember?
The all-time favorite and hardest was the regional final.
Yeah. That killed me.
Yeah. You know, there's some years as a coach, and I haven't had many of these, but there's sometimes when you're done, it's like, ooh, thank goodness it's done. And, you know, but usually it's hard. That year was tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, Annie says, when Greg graduated from Finley, I can't bring him up anymore, and that's Greg and Cody and those guys. But, you know, I had a 4-year grace period. Then after that, she said, hey, you got to stop talking about those guys. Yeah. But, you know, that was after that game, that lost. I mean, being around them, because when I got here, they were sixth graders.
Yep.
And, you know, some of my first moments here was going up and watching you and Luke coach those guys like at Bluffton.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I drove from Portland because we were living with Annie's parents in the basement because we didn't have a house yet.
Yeah.
And so we drove over there. I actually took Stella. I think it was Stella or Daniel, one of them, when they were babies, drove up. Them and I went up and watched you guys play in a sixth grade tournament at Bluffton. And you know, just being around those guys for so long. And then obviously with you guys, just, you know, some of the parents in there we're good friends with.
Sure.
And so when that game lost, knowing that you had a chance to go to state, knowing that we kind of, you know,
just missed.
Didn't, you know, maybe pull Jim Harbaugh and maybe got hosed over a little bit with Greg's three fouls in about a minute and a half and so on.
Oh,
but, you know, that was tough knowing that we were so close with those kids and, you know, in the locker room, you know, I probably bawled for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Bubba walked in and he's bawling. And so that was probably the most memorable, the funnest, and also, you know, the hardest at the same time.
You're 26 years old living in your wife's parents' basement, and that's the toughest part?
Well, when I came, I had a coaching job, and that was it. So we moved here with her just graduating college, and we didn't have a place because I was getting paid a basketball salary and that was it.
Yeah.
And so
blind faith.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was, we moved back because we were from Jay County. We moved from Chicago back here because we wanted to be closer to home, and we had Olivia and we didn't want to raise her in the city. And so we wanted to come back here. This job opened up, which, you know, I always kind of wanted to get back over here. I always liked it. And I knew Diane for a long time and she coached over here and she's always said great things about Fort Recovery. So I always wanted to come over here and coach. And when this got close to home, and so, you know, I said we got basically $2,000 was my pay and hopefully sub pay. So yeah. We had to have some place. So
the basement seemed pretty damn nice.
It was a penthouse. So
well, look who decided to walk in.
We got the big fella. Made it.
Guys,
Bobby's in the house.
80 degrees in here.
It is a little.
It is hot.
No, it does got her.
I'm glad I wore shorts.
What's the occasion?
Rocker
feels like
cold.
Florida.
Rocker's got a cold.
Rocker's a little sniffles.
Rocker's going to call in sick tomorrow.
He's diehard.
You know what? You ought to just to watch Bill have a freaking heart attack.
Call in sick and then walk in about 20 after.
Sniffle. So, Coach, do you listen to Rocker every morning?
I'm at school.
At 6:15? No.
I'm in bed.
Oh, okay.
All right, that makes more sense.
That does make more sense. So, Bobby, what kind of question you got for Coach Patch? We asked him a whole boatload of them.
I think the thing about this year is a lot of good return players and a lack of depth. You know, I'm sure they brought that up.
Oh, yeah. We grilled him.
Did you grill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're
shaking.
Was he really shaking? No softballs here.
No softballs?
No.
So you ask him why we only got 13 kids?
Yes.
And what's his answer?
He said it's more than Delphus has.
It's about equal to what they have.
Yeah. It'll go up.
Yep. But, you know, and you know, having one sophomore is tough. You know, which will really mean that the next couple of years will be tough. You know, when like you only have one girl in any one class, that's
the good thing though. Our younger kids, our eighth grade class is really good.
Yeah,
and we have 9 kids there. Actually, we had 7 last year, 2 added on, and then our 7th grade class has 13. And they have, I think, the potential to be pretty good down the road as well. And so, you know, actually Mandy went from coaching 7 kids to 13. And, you know, she's struggling, I think, a little bit with that because she just don't know what to do with all the kids. But, you know, that's what, you know, as you made the comment earlier, I told him, hey, I don't really care how many games you win at the 7th grade level. You know, the main job is for them to learn and to teach as much as you can and hopefully get better.
I heard that before.
Yeah. I've told you that a few times, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, because the whole job is for them to get better. And, you know, not that it's going to be equal in playing time, but just, you know, our better kids have still got to play and learn. But, you know, give a chance for everyone to play and you earn that time through practice. And so, you know, our eighth grade, we kind of keep the similar philosophy, but a little bit more importance on, you know, because winning is a skill. You got to learn how to win. And so,
it's an attitude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, sure. And so in the eighth grade, not that that's all we care about, but we do add that into the element of, you know, try to, you know, win a little bit, because if you're doing the things right, you're going to win games. And that's kind of what we talked about with our varsity team even this year is, you know, we're not talking about, hey, we got to win this. We got to, you know, win this. We don't want to lose. It's if you go out and do the little things correct, winning will take care of itself. And so that's kind of the big, been the focus is on the details. And if you focus on the details, the outcome will be there. So,
you know what, and I tell you what, win, lose, from an HR standpoint, and Bob can attest to this, and when it comes to being prepared for the work life, when you're done with high school, the lessons that you learn in any sport, it shows in kids when it's time to move into the workplace, they have a much better idea what it takes to be part of a group.
I agree with you, Jack. Absolutely.
The one thing, and I know Mr. Firkes has talked about this a lot, is, you know, like our whole theme this year is above the line. And it's part of the book of Urban Meyer wrote. And, you know, Brent has adopted that whole thing with the football program called the E plus R equals O.
Yeah.
And that's part of above the line, which is our philosophy this year. What we're going with is our motto for that is above the line. And it's a whole philosophy by Brian and Tim Kite and wrote this book. And I was one of the teachers that went with the administration and the staff went there to Hilliard Schools to listen to this thing. And when you hear them talk about it, I mean, it's hard not to be, I guess, consumed with that. And so we talk about it a lot. That's our Mondays. We have them above the line nights. And so when we practice for an hour and a half, the other half hours, we just sit and talk about that stuff. And one of the comments they made with there, and you guys know this, is most people don't get fired because of their working skills. It's their life skills they lack. You know, the ability to work with others and communication and, you know, work ethic and all that stuff. And so that's the kind of stuff that we've been talking with our team about as far as, you know, if we can get this taken care of and help you with that, that's going to have a larger impact in your life than anything we're ever going to do here in basketball. Yeah. And I really truly believe you can use sports to teach those life lesson skills. And so for us, that's kind of how, you know, granted, we're still trying to teach basketball and we're still trying to win games and all that stuff. But I think we can do a better service to the kids by really teaching that and nailing that home for them is trying to get them those life lesson skills. And you get a lot of that through sports. So, yeah. You know, learning how to lose graciously and also win with humility and things like that. And so, you know, just a lot of those things, that's kind of that above the line philosophy is what we're trying to do with the kids.
Well, and, you know, like last year, we had all of our supervisors and our managers attend Tim Kite training, and it was the
tremendous
E plus R. Oh yeah, it was very, very good. And I mean, it's like you said, it's those, you know, life lessons, and it helps you deal with things that come up that you're not expecting to come up, and it happens every day.
So Coach, and I mean, I got here late, so I don't really know the questions they asked, but as you know, we've known you since you've been here for how many years?
14
years. And now you got a daughter coming up. And it's now coaching as a parent, coaching your daughter, coaching.
Rocker actually asked that question.
And when you talk about life skills, do you see yourself transitioning as a basketball coach to being more of a seeing yourself from where you were 5 years ago with the boys program, 5 years ago where you were with the boys program, now in the girls program as a coach and as a dad, your transition in life?
I think I've changed as a coach, and it's not just because my kid's coming up. I've changed because probably it all started actually, I think, when I took the girls' job is I really got into reading like Jay Billis's toughness book. And yeah.
Here we go.
And you know, that was where it was, you know, I really started to think about it, and you hear a lot of these other people speak, and it was, you know, I thought we've done a pretty good job of teaching skills and some, you know, a lot of other stuff. But I think the part we probably lacked was the mental part. And I started to read a lot more, and I'm not a great reader as far as being loving reading, but I've fell in love with some really good books. John Gordon is another guy that I've really started to read a lot of. I read the Above the Line book with Urban Meyer. And they talk about the mental part of sports, but also the mental part of sports, but they always relate it to life and also sports at the same time. And so for me, I found that as being, you know, I see being how it can be related. And so I think we've really tried to hit that hard over the last 3 years. And honestly, I think it's probably made me a better coach for that, because you don't get caught up so much in the winning part as much. You know, and it's like I've been saying, if you do all the details right, winning will happen. So for us, it hasn't been talking about, hey, we got to go win, we got to go win, we got to go win. And we don't put the pressure on the kids to win. It's we put the pressure on the kids to perform at at a high level, but accomplishing details. So we became more detailed, task oriented as a program. And, you know, hopefully they feel the stress to win is not as high. And at the same time, though, but we are winning a lot of games. So.
I think, and this is just me and my life and how I run my group of guys at Cooper's to be a coach. And I follow and I use a lot of Urban Meyer's philosophies. Like when you listen to him talk and when you hear, like, he has me using his mindset as leading my guys at work. You know what I'm saying? The way he talks about foxhole mentality and you want to do it for this guy sitting here beside you. And you want to do it. And it really is amazing to listen to somebody like that and then to take that and how you've took it to this level with the girls program and how you've evolved as a basketball coach.
I mean, for me, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know I love to talk. And
no.
Nah. And, you know, for me, I really enjoy this. I have a passion for it. You know, not just the basketball part, but the whole, the whole mindset of above the line thing. And so, you know, like I say, for a half hour every Mondays, we sit and talk about it. And, you know, we're going to start doing some more things. We just kind of started getting into it with them. And so as the season progresses, we'll do that. You know, we're going to have the kids do some different fun things with it. We'll do some skits. They're going to make them do some skits as a team, kind of some team building things. And then we'll put those on our Facebook page for the girls basketball program. And you'll get a chance to kind of watch them do some things like that. And so, but like I said, I totally believe that that's been a difference for us. It's been a difference for me as a coach. And so, you know, I definitely think it has made it, you know, better from that standpoint.
You're big on social media and you're really big on family and Facebook. And you had a thing on Facebook this past week that you talked about. And I don't know if Jack, if you brought this up or not, but one day he dedicated during Thanksgiving holiday to him and Daniel sitting up and watch as many basketball games as you could. And then the next day, you and Stella watch
at our house,
and I just thought it was just neater than heck. And share that
during the holidays, it's musical beds. Now for Emma, our 4-year-old, she wants every night to be musical beds, right. And she'll crawl in bed with you all the time. And we've kind of told him, look, on the weekends we'll do that. During the week, you got to be in your own bed that way, because her and Stella sleep together that way, they in the same bed. So that way, you know, it's kind of, you got to get in the habit of staying there. But one night, Daniel and I stayed in our room, because I won't bring up why, you know, Annie's on the other side.
Sure.
She ain't listening. There. No, she's listening.
I love you, Annie.
Annie's the best.
Kim Feely.
Jody's talking. So Daniel and I are in the room.
I love you, baby.
And I bet we probably stayed up to 2 o'clock and just watching games. And, you know, he's at that age now as a 6th grader. He and I went scouting the other night. And, you know, it's fun because now, you know, we sat there when he's not just watching a game as a fan, he's now trying to learn. And, you know, he's asking questions or, you know, he's watching stuff. And it's, you know, and for him, that's, you know, as I try to look, this is the best way for you to learn how to play the game is watch it and then see how it's done. And, you know, that's some of the better players, you know, you can learn so much from. And that's how you become good, because every good player you've ever watched in any sport, their knowledge of the game is high.
Sure.
And, you know, so for him, we sat and watched a whole bunch of games. We just talked about it and explained stuff. And he had questions. And I was trying to, you know, almost coach.
I love that.
Yeah. You know, just coach him. Like, hey, you see that, what this guy did. And we rewind it. And, you know, this is what happens in this situation. This is what you have to do and different things like that. And then, so then the next night was Stella's, it was Emma's turn. And we had all kinds of questions and just played some games and did different stuff. And then it was Stella's the next night, I think, was when I had posted that. And it was just, oh, Emma's thing is she wants to be a mom so bad as a 4-year-old. And so just some of the questions we had just kind of makes you laugh and, you know, different things like that. And then it was Stella's night, I think, when I had posted that, was going to be her night next. So it was going to be interesting to see what those conversations were going to be like. And so, but we just kind of do that. We watch Christmas movies when we were in there, and I just kind of had fun and tried to take turns, just because I'm gone so much, you know, during basketball. you know, you're just not around him a lot. And so I said, I'm with Liv, you know, with the basketball part, and Daniel goes a lot, scouting with me a lot. And so I don't have a chance to be around Stella and them as much. So that's just kind of our time to be together.
That's pretty cool.
Got to take advantage of that.
Pretty cool. Bobby, what else you got?
I don't know, man.
Mr. Part-timer?
Part-timer, I know. We had a big old meeting tonight, boys. Hey, Chuck needs to pay some bills. You need to take a break, Charlie?
Not really.
No, we're good to go. Keep talking. Is that what you're saying?
He's got a school mic. Commercial break.
We only got one more?
One more commercial break.
One more.
Well, let's do it.
Want to do it?
Yep.
We want a break?
Yep, we're going to take a break.
Bubba and Fee. Be right back. Bubba and Fee.
Oh, yeah, Bubba and Fee without Bubba.
Jack and Fee and
all right,
Patrick.
There you go.
The gang.
The gangers.
The gang.
It's November, and it's time to get your car ready for winter. Don't get stuck with a dead battery, bad wipers, or not-so-great tires. Give the professionals at Hastings Auto a call at 375-4617 and schedule your winter checkout. They'll check your antifreeze, wipers, battery, tires, and more so you're ready when that cold weather hits us. Hastings is open weekdays from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., and now Hastings is open on Tuesday nights until 8 p.m. Hastings Auto, 375-4617.
The staff of Tin Man's in historic downtown Fort Recovery invites you to join us for our home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11, Monday through Friday, Tin Man features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and Tin Man's famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturdays, including steak and roasted chicken, complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and honey roll. Stop on in at Tin Man's in Fort Recovery and enjoy some good home cooking.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Whether you work in landscaping, farming, or construction, New Holland 200 series skid steers and compact loaders are reliable workhorses that stand up to any challenge you face. We at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery can show you the many New Holland advantages that allow you to work more efficiently, like the patented Super Boom technology that delivers maximum reach at full height, and easy servicing and comfortable cab. Stop by K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery to see the New Holland skid steer and compact track loaders. They're designed for hard work and demanding conditions.
All the senior citizens in the area are invited to a senior citizens holiday breakfast at 9 a.m. on Friday, December 16th at the High School Commons. There will be limited space, so reservations are required by calling 375-4139 before December 9th. Besides the breakfast, the high school band and chorus will be there to provide entertainment, and there will also be tours of the school buildings. So call now, 375-4139, and make your reservations for the Senior Citizens Holiday Breakfast on Friday, December 16th. Running short on time and need to get supper fast? Or maybe you just don't feel like messing up the kitchen? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 for some great food without the hassle. Great sandwiches, wings, subs, pizza. What's your favorite? Just call them and they'll fix it for you. And don't forget to call them if you're looking for a place for your Christmas party, or you can order your wings and pizza ahead of time for a holiday get-together at your place. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274.
Are you looking to change your career or become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. Would you like to know more about the positions and benefits Cooper Farms has to offer? Visit our website at cooperfarms.com or stop by 2321 State Route 49, Fort Recovery, Ohio, and ask to speak with an HR representative. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Fowler Mechanical, your local Bryant dealer, would like to help you keep your home comfortable all season long. So whether it's a quick fix or time for something new, Fowler Mechanical has a team of professionals that can help. They offer a full lineup of efficient, energy-saving Bryant heating and cooling system options that can help you save money in the long run. So give them a call at Fowler Mechanical and see what they can do for you. Fowler Mechanical, 375-2410. Bryant, whatever it takes. Good luck, Indians.
I don't have any music. It was a fun time.
We're back on?
Yeah.
What, no music or what?
Oops.
It's good up.
Here comes what goes, here comes
I messed up.
Uh-oh. Messed up.
Interesting.
What's that?
So, Coach, we talked about your scouting. It's got to be easier now. They got the JJ Huddle and all that stuff. But remember our scouting when we went and got that tape that
That was for tournament. That was for ADA tournament. Yeah, we went to a warehouse bunker.
Remember? We were out all over the place.
Well, that was my first year, second year here.
I don't even know who we played.
It was played Ada. Yeah.
We had to get a tape on them.
So I think you and Leverett, was that just me, you and Leverett went?
Us three, yeah.
Yeah, we went driving around.
That's the way the old scouting days were. That was
oh,
fun.
My goodness.
I went and Coach sent me down to Massinawa, or no, Tri-Village. Said, Fee, go down there and scout. Seventh grade coach. Yeah. So I go down. He's got sheets and all this stuff to fill out. So I come in the next day and he goes, what do you think? I said, if you get beat, we're fired. You're the worst team I ever seen. That's all I told him. He goes, what? I said, they're horrible. Then I told him, one of the kids can't even shoot. Hit first three shots, he hit threes. Boom, boom, boom. He looked over at me. What is going on? Well, my scouting wasn't quite so good.
Leverett still owes me a trip home from Ansonia, too. Walking. He was a JV coach, and he said, if we get beat in this game, I'm walking home tonight. And they got beat. He hadn't walked home yet.
Still owes you a walk home.
He still does.
All right, so let's shift gears.
Okay.
Yep. And Patchy is a big Ohio State fan.
Absolutely. We haven't talked too much here yet.
No, we're going to talk a little bit about the BCS, Ohio State comes in number two. And in number three was Clemson, 4 Washington, Michigan 5. Michigan got a chance.
Did you listen to the guy, though? He said Michigan and Washington, there's not much difference between them.
No.
But Washington could get beat.
Need one of them get beat.
But
if one of them gets beat, I think they're in.
You know what, though?
They don't want to.
Can you take Michigan over the winner of Wisconsin and Penn State? That's the only thing.
They beat them both, though.
Michigan beat both of them. Beat Penn State by 40.
Beat both. You take the 4 best teams. It doesn't matter who they are.
Do you find yourself, like, I've watched that college all the time, and they're always talking about it, every guy that talks against the Buckeyes makes me so mad I can't stand it. Well, they're number two, but they don't deserve being there. I don't understand.
You don't like Mark May?
Not just Mark May. There's a lot of guys that feel that
way. They're all just feeling like, well, you know, that Penn State game. I want to say, dude, it was a blocked field goal, a fluke blocked field goal, or they don't beat us. You know, it's not like they pounded us.
Well, and it's not like they lost to the Little Sisters of the Poor. I mean, they lost at Penn State, which is a number
six right now.
Right, 16 in the country. Are you kidding me?
You know, they beat 3 top 10 teams.
But it all goes back. I mean, nobody's questioning that. They're questioning the fact, rather, you got to win your conference tournament to be eligible or get into that game. And Ohio State now gets an extra week off from all these teams.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They're not going to get up. They may drop 2. They may drop down to number 3. They're not going to drop down any lower than that. All that does is change the color of their jerseys.
Yeah.
They're going to play Clemson because Clemson will win that ACC tournament.
I think you're right.
You would think so.
And maybe Clemson goes to 2 and bounces them.
2 years ago, TCU was 3.
But that's a very different scenario.
How's that?
Because they didn't have the resume Ohio State has. They didn't just beat number 3. They didn't beat number 7, Wisconsin. Right. And they didn't. And Ohio State has 3 wins against
top 10 teams.
Yeah.
Top 10. And Nebraska was top 10 at the time, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When we beat them.
Right. So that win over Michigan is, you can't sell that thing. As that's an important win because you're beating number 3.
You think Michigan's better, though, than Clemson and Washington?
No, I think they're better than Washington. I think my top 4 teams is Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, and
Alabama.
And Alabama.
I think that 100%.
And if that's the...
Because if you look at the schedule, I don't think the Pac-10's very good.
No. The Big Ten was good this year. But the problem, it's like you said, the problem is how do you keep our championship winner out of there? But...
Well, because they got 2 losses and
Michigan beat both.
Michigan beat both.
The problem is Michigan will have lost 2 of their last 3 games too. So, you know, that loss at Iowa was a huge killer for them.
The good thing, though, this is not March Madness where it's hot at the end.
Right. Yeah. It's just going to be fun. I mean, it's Sunday at noon. And then I was looking at now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the semifinals are December 31st.
Yes.
New Year's Eve.
Yep. Remember we watched them last year.
And then we got all the bowl games January 1st.
But I thought that they got away from the December 31st.
No.
I don't think. It's all set up.
And the finals are January the 9th or something.
The week next week. Yeah. Where are we Monday night?
Monday night.
They get about 10 days, don't they?
Hey, Bubba.
Yeah.
Is there a scenario possibly where there's three big teams?
No.
No.
Can't happen.
That'll never happen.
Is that done on purpose or?
No, but it just can't. No, too many teams are playing each other.
But what about Clemson and Washington both lose?
Well, then Colorado will jump because they'd beat
Colorado
Washington.
Has to be in there, yeah.
I would think. They're not going to put three Big Ten teams in that final. It ain't going to happen.
Or they would only drop Clemson down to four or something. I don't know. I don't think there's any way. I mean, there's certainly an argument for it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it happens.
What if Penn State annihilates Wisconsin like we did? Beats them 55 to nothing. Then what do you do with them? The last two games are unbelievable good.
Yeah.
Then they probably get in, Michigan don't.
Well,
you're saying if one of them top loses.
If somebody,
I mean, that would be the only way if they have unbelievable style points.
Yeah.
But I still don't think it's going to be enough. Michigan played Ohio State, and a lot of people think Michigan was the better team Saturday. And there's a lot of people
first three quarters.
Yeah. Well, but you know what, though? That happens every game. I mean, you know, hell, Alabama gave up 42 points to, who was it, Texas A&M maybe? Or, you know, I mean, maybe it was Ole Miss at that point.
Right.
But, you know, games aren't about halftime or whatever.
Yeah. If you saw the stats were actually in favor of Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like Michigan was dominating it, but when you look at the stats, Ohio State had the better stats.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, and it's hard to go by because, okay, so when you score a touchdown on defense, well, your offense isn't on the field, so you're not going to gain yards, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so Ohio State is a team to be reckoned with, you know, and that win.
You know, other than the Oklahoma game, I mean, I don't think we were dominant that game. I thought we were unbelievable that game. Every other game, other than them teams that you know you're going to blow out, but the big games, well, Nebraska, we did clobber them too.
Yeah.
But that's what they are, though. They could be good. They could beat Alabama.
All right, but the most impressive stat from that game, and I saw this on social media, 44 freshmen beat 43 seniors. I mean, think about what he's doing with playing young kids in important positions.
It's incredible.
I mean, there's a difference between an 18-year-old kid and a 22-year-old man.
Oh, without
that is a huge difference.
Well, I mean, just an understanding the game of college football.
Right.
You know, it is. I mean, it's like moving a freshman high school player up against a bunch of seniors. It's a different game. But you know what? At least Harbaugh handled himself well.
You know what, that guy
he is so intense.
He is a record, ain't he?
He is. I like him. I kind of like him.
He's just a tool bag. But you got to kind of like, I mean, you can see where kids love him.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, it's he'll be a great recruit. Problem is, Harbaugh, he'll be gone within 2 years.
Yeah.
He never stays anywhere no more than 4 years. Look at his record. He ain't staying.
He won't stay.
No, Chuck needs some cheese, boys. He needs a bad. What do you mean? Headphones.
Yeah, Chuck's plugged up.
So I'm not what?
Cheese plugs me up.
Am I screaming?
A little bit. I didn't think so.
Dang it. Sorry, Chuck.
Okay,
I got to talk a little lighter. Patchy. Brian. Am I on? He yelled at me, didn't he? Would you guys say Chuck yelled? Oh, yep. Yeah. See, this is a lot. I bet I was yelling.
No.
Man, my voice sounds a little sexy.
It does. I like it.
Barry White.
Barry White's here.
Oh, So anyway, Patchy, so we talked a little bit about Ohio State, and these guys grilled you on the girls' basketball program. Your JV coach is who?
Chelsea Rogers.
And your freshman coach, not having one? And then Vonnie's varsity assistant, and your junior high girls are Val Fortcamp.
Yep.
And Mandy Hastings.
Mullenkamp.
Mandy Mullenkamp. Why do I do that? I still do that, too.
Age, buddy. You're showing your age.
I am showing my age. How about the rest of your program? How you look down low?
You mean team-wise?
Yeah. Not your manscape.
No, look good.
I mean, that was a personal question there.
No,
look at you. What are you looking at?
I didn't know if you meant coaching or team or what.
No, I'm talking about your girls.
Well, we kind of covered that when you weren't here, but
you did talk about that?
Yeah, a little bit.
You guys were on it.
We were on it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Jack was good, and Harold were good. Even Rocker had a good question in there.
Yeah. Rocker had a good
question. How about your youngsters?
That's what I'm asking.
That's where he's going, like the sixth grade and down.
You are the, okay, now first of all, me and Fee and Jack know you. You have your program set from the third grade on.
Yeah, he knows everything.
He's done it every year since every he was year, born.
Yeah,
but he knows
he's figured out.
You've got a starting five of third graders already. It's on his phone somewhere. Is notes. It? I guarantee.
No. 2022 starting lineup.
Bryce can't go to his left.
We got to work on that. We haven't started our fifth or sixth grade yet, but we have Sarah Post and Sam Kanapke, hopefully. If we can get Jake to help watch the
little
kids.
Rugrats.
Yeah. And then we have Crystal Rammel, and I think I talked Sierra Webker into it. So those will be the four. That will help with the fifth and sixth grade. We'll start that towards the end of December, beginning of January. And then we run practice, a lot of skill stuff with that during January, February, and March. And then this year, they're going to go play in the Boys Club League for games. And then third and fourth grade then, Mark Hubbard and Bonnie and myself run the third and fourth grade. And we've been doing that already. We're about just kind of started, I think, 2 weeks or 3 weeks into it now. And we do that in November and December. And then we'll have those little kids then come out and play at the halftime of games.
I love that.
And
I think that's a good thing.
So we try to get the third and fourth grade in a little bit. But, you know, it just gets so hard because I run all that stuff myself with our coaches. And so we get maybe 8 to 10 practices in with those where we do a lot of skill development with them, but don't overdo it. And like I said, it takes about 2 months to get those in. And then we try to add to a little bit more with our fifth and sixth grade to where, like I say, they're in at about two and a half to almost 3 months, and where they're doing some practices. And we try to get a couple scrimmages or games or some stuff like that in with them. So
good.
Now, Mark doesn't still teach, does he?
No, he retired a few years ago. And he had my first year, Lori Potcutter was the JV coach. And then when Mercer Health switched over all that, she actually quit. She wasn't allowed to take off work early and stuff anymore. So she actually quit like 3 weeks until the start of the season.
Wow.
So Hubs, you know, was with me with the boys. And so he came. I asked him, I said, hey, I have to have somebody. And we, you know, I couldn't find anyone. And, you know, that's probably a little difference too for, it's hard to find coaches to stay anyway, but it's harder, I think, to find women to be able to coach just because they're so used to running the households and the families and things. And so to be able to get more of them involved, it's kind of harder. Come on, Fee.
No. Hub's fantastic.
Yeah, and so he filled in on short notice, and he was only intentions to do it 1 year because otherwise we kind of cut into his vacation time a little bit and, you know, his travel plans. And so, but at the same time, you know, he loves doing it. And so he helps out with the third and fourth graders here and there. If I can't be there, Jeff can't be there or whatever. And so I still have him around. He's texted the other day, goes, hey, let me know when you want me to scout, and I'll go scout for you. And so, you know, cool. He's still involved. So,
and he's still in Coldwater, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great guy.
He is a great guy.
How you feeling?
Good. I went out for a checkup last Friday, and everything was good. So they actually took me off my heart medicine.
Good.
So
wife still call you pussy?
Sure she does. Yeah. That's the greatest story ever. Actually.
I love it. So,
I couldn't walk. I actually went and got a haircut at Leverett's place. Daniel and I did. And my leg was so sore. I actually army crawled into the house. Mm-hmm. I couldn't walk. It hurt so bad. And of course, yeah, she's calling me all kinds of names about suck it up and all this stuff. And I'm like, I cannot move my leg. It hurts so bad. I had two veins blocked from my upper thigh all the way down to my lower calf.
And Annie's
she's calling it out. It's like a, and then finding out, yeah, two veins completely blocked the whole way down. So the funny thing with that is I go in to see Dr. Myron. And he's like, well, I didn't really know. He's like, we'll just send you over and have you do like an ultrasound. I'm like, you know what they do for pregnant women? He's like, yeah. And so she checks it and she can't get the thing, you know, she can't get anything going. So she thinks the machine's broke. So she gets a different machine, goes up and down my leg, can't figure anything out again. So she actually calls him back over and says, I don't think it's working. Well, there was nothing moving in my leg. That's the blood. There was no movement at all. So she thought the machine was broke.
You were broke.
So I was
Patchy was broke.
So
Patchy broke.
So I'm still on blood thinners. I'll be on those for life. But
so if I cut you right now, I'm just going to shoot.
I'm dead.
You're straight.
That is why you're not shaving.
Yeah. After that, I've cut myself a few times and I bleed like crazy and it just, I'm not doing it. So I just don't shave. Yeah.
Getting old kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's
a little sucky a little bit.
Yeah. This kind of sucks.
Wait. You all wait. Y'all just wait.
What?
Oh, when you reach the big 60. I tell you what. I went roller skating.
Oh, that's like, a good idea.
Yeah. I did. And I fell. And when I hit the ground, I look like a frickin' Mr. Potato Head. I mean, my glasses, my hearing aids. Yeah, I mean, I had parts of the body laying next to me that just
body parts
just shouldn't have been. It was incredible bad. Oh yeah, you wait.
Did you break a hip?
Oh yeah,
broke a hip.
You broke a hip.
Yeah,
and that's the bad thing of being on blood thinners too. Is if you get any kind of bump, it's looks like you've been
it bruises.
Oh
bad.
My goodness, everywhere.
And he's going to have to stop beating on you.
Yeah, I got proof now.
Yeah, that's right.
And the dance.
Yep.
So what is your love affair with Kentucky? You was never a big Kentucky fan. And the last
Calipari.
I mean, I don't get it. That guy sucks.
Well, here's the deal. I became actually an Ohio State fan because of John Gross.
He's the worst coach in the
NCAA. Well, I actually coached with him in my first year out of high school. He was at Jay County as the freshman coach. He was actually JV coach at Taylor University and doing freshman coach at Jay County. And so I coached with him as an assistant my first year out of high school, coaching right away, and while I was going to college. And then the next year, he's at North Carolina State. And then he got hooked up with Herb Sendek, and then he was good friends with Thad Mata. So then he came back to Butler, was with Mata there. When Mata went to Xavier, he went with Mata there to Xavier. About the time I came to Fort Recovery. And he actually had, you know, wrote a letter of recommendation and all that stuff for me here. And then he went to Ohio State, and then I went with Fee to an Ohio State Buckeye game about that time.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so him and some other friends of ours took us into the Shoe, and you see that, and it's hard not to become hooked.
Right.
Being there
quick
at Heine Gate and all that good stuff you see. And
yeah, he came into town as a Michigan fan. I said, we're changing that right now.
He wasn't a Michigan fan.
Football he was.
Yeah, football was.
I said, are you kidding me? I'm taking a Buckeye game.
And then
one Buckeye game, he's done.
He's got gray everywhere.
Tattoo.
I love it.
And then Gross, then we actually then for the first few years, we would take our players to Ohio State practices all the time. And we're actually with Odin, we're right behind the bench, aren't we, Fee?
Yeah, right behind the big fella.
John Gross had got us tickets behind the bench, you know, for games and stuff, so we'd be down there a lot for practices and games. And when you're around all that, it's just hard not becoming a fan of it. Well, then I got hooked up when we started. I became interested in the dribble drive stuff, and then got hooked up with a guy in Cincinnati. Actually took a professional day from school and drove down to Cincinnati at Lebanon Schools and met with the guy down there who was coaching. And he and I sat and talked dribble drive offense the whole entire day and showed me films of stuff. And he goes, hey, I'm going to a clinic in Memphis. And it's an invite only. So I'm down at Memphis with 100 other coaches, and we're around the court at a casino. And not gambling rocker. but we're around the basketball court watching a Memphis practice, and Calipari was there. And then the guy who created the offense, and his name slipped my mind right now, but he was down there actually at practice because him and Calipari are good friends. And you're literally around the court, surrounding the court, and there's 100 people there, and you could actually go out to practice and put players. That's when Derrick Rose was there, and you can move guys around on the floor and say, okay, what happens if this scenario happens? And so Calipari basically opened up, you know, practice for just those 100 coaches to go in there, and you could basically be in charge of practice. You could, you know, what happens here? What happens here? What happens if this goes on? What do you do in this instance and stuff? Well, then the guy I hooked up with, he played for Calipari's number one assistant, John Robick, in college. So afterwards, you could say, if we're not doing anything, he said, Robick said he'll take us out. So we went into the casino, six guys went in there, and we met up with John Robick, and he goes, get whatever you want. And it's almost like you see in the movies a little bit. We walk, he goes, Calipari be in here a little bit. I'm thinking, no way is Calipari coming in.
Right.
Well, we're sitting in there, and we're ordering anything we want, and it's all taken care of by Memphis basketball. And so we're in there, and in comes Calipari in there. Of course, I'm thinking, you know, I'm pretty excited to see Calipari. And so we come, and he actually comes over and sits down with us, and he eats, and we sat there for probably 3 hours around the table, and he's taking the salt and, you know, pepper shakers and all this stuff, and he's diagramming everything, showing us all the stuff right there, what questions you guys got. And then after that, we go back the next day, and then we go in, and he shows us around the locker room and things like that. And so us six get our own little private tour of a Memphis locker room and stuff, which was really neat.
So when you talk about the John Calipari and dribble drive, basically, you can help me if I'm wrong here, cannot. But you was brought up under Baumholt, okay?
I didn't play. That's way before my time.
But the offense that he ran, the deliberate offense, you brought it here. We almost beat New Knoxville with that kind of offense.
It actually, that, I mean, I never played for Baumholt. I'm like, I was a baby when he was there. I don't even remember him at all.
But the dribble drive offense is basically the Princeton offense with more athletes and just kind of a juiced up version of it.
Calipari calls it Princeton on steroids.
Yeah. So,
in Princeton, you're looking
but
for.
But you already knew that because we about beat Knoxville.
Yeah. We actually ran a little bit of version of a dribble drive with like Clint Toby and Bobby Ramos senior year.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And not really even knowing much about it, but we actually, Bob Leverett and I kind of figured some stuff out. We came up with our own little version of it, and we're kind of running some of it actually this year. It's almost like a four corners.
Now, wasn't that with, what was the Harry Potter?
Trent.
Remember, he got in trouble because we were fabulous. But the week before he got in trouble,
Harry Potter,
we were unbelievable how good we were.
That's right.
Well, we actually put
Sean Colling and Greg Fowler. Yeah.
We came out, and that was my second year here, actually. Yeah. We ran that one time. Bob and I just started messing around with some ideas. We had played Bremen earlier in the year, and they'd beat us, and that's who we played in tournament.
Yep.
And we came out in tournament, and we started working on this offense. We never ran it because we didn't want them to see it, but we ran it every day in practice. We repped the crap out of it for about 3 weeks. And we went out and played New Bremen, and we're up like 32-6 at halftime on them. And we shoot like 75%.
It's unbelievable, a higher percentage.
I mean, it was just unbelievable. And actually, every time we ran it, and we've always shot very well. And because you basically get everything at the basket, or you get kick out threes and they're wide open because everyone sucked in to help.
Yeah.
And so your shots are now basically unguarded shots. And so we've, over the years, we've kind of flirted around and ran it some here and there, some years more than others. But we're kind of running a similar style to that now this year a little bit. And so, But to become a Kentucky fan when Calipari went there, the first year we went down when he was there, he did the same thing with us. When we went down, I met up with him with the same group of coaches, and he took us out to UK, and we went around. He paid for dinner again, and we hung out in the UK locker room and stuff, and we've gone down to practices a few times and things like that. And that's the thing is just when you're around those guys, I mean, you see them in a different light a little bit because it's like, you know, they're opening everything to you. And, you know, they don't do that for everybody, but, you know, just because I got that connection with the one guy who played for Rovick, you know, we go down there. This is the year we did because we had a family wedding, but otherwise I've taken our staff down there every year. We go down and watch practice. It's open just to so many people. And we go down and watch, and it's just our, you know, chance for our staff to be together. We talk about everything and watch practice, and it's just neat to see all that stuff. And I've taken Daniel a few games, and we've gotten lucky to get some season tickets, and not that we have them, but we've used some people's season tickets where we're down on the floor and everything. And it's just a neat experience. You kind of have that attachment because you know those people and you're around them. And like I say, they're sitting there, it's like, hey, what questions you got? And it's just neat to, you know, they're helping you out with everything. So,
you've been coaching girls for how long?
Three
years. Me and Fee sit at that scores table. And this goes for when you coach the boys, too. And I hate to, you know, I'm a fan of Patchies. So when I say this, people are going to say, oh, you just suck up to Patch. You just love Patch. But I honestly feel that in the 3 years that he's coached girls basketball and in the previous coaching boys basketball, I've never felt like we've got outcoached. And that's a compliment to you. But when we're at a girls basketball game and things ain't going right, I always think, I guarantee
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, because he has a demeanor that I just like the way you treat situations. You know, I think you never get fired up at the referees very often. You know, and I just think that's just a pretty solid trait.
Well, plus I've never seen a coach that scouts guys so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it cracks me up like when they take a ball out and you'll yell at the girl and go to your right, he's going to throw it over there, and they're going to throw it here, and they're going to throw it, because you know every exact move, what they're going to do, because they've scouted every inbounds play, every play they got. I mean, it's just a matter of do what we tell you, and it'll work. We're going to stop them.
Well, when I first came, you know, I was the first year, when I came for a cover, I was a first year head coach, I've never been a head coach. And my always thought was, okay, I may not know as much as all the other head coaches, but we're not going to be outworked. And so that's kind of always been our philosophy, was we're just going to try to outwork everybody. And so, you know, to do that, you got to be prepared. And so that's what we've always tried to do. And also, I've been very lucky to have some great assistant coaches, you know, along the way. Absolutely, Harold was big.
Yeah, big.
I don't remember you coached.
I'm on the bench, well, basically.
See, that's the thing.
Hey, Bob, you need time out, coach?
Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
I always say that every time I'm on here.
You got three left.
Coach. Every time he tells me exactly that's what he needs to say. Get a timeout, stupid.
Just in case you want to use it.
But, you know, like I said, I've been very fortunate. Jeff has helped out a tremendous amount. He's done so much. And, you know, it's almost like being co-coaches with him because he runs a lot of our stuff. Like I say, he does all of our substitutions. He creates our out-of-bounds plays for us. You know, I rely on him so much because I trust him so much. We've been around. Our philosophies are the same a lot on how we do stuff. We just know what our ultimate plan is and how we're going to get there, so it's easy. And, you know, like I said, with Joe Bruns was there. He helped out a lot with stuff. So, you know, I've been very fortunate to have some very good assistants, you know, with hubs and stuff. And, you know, our junior high coaches over the years, you know, those are always the most important people in your program because they're the ones who are always developing your players for you. And, you know, if they do their job and do it well, then it makes our job at the high school so much easier because the kids come in prepared, skilled, and understand what we want to do. You know, that's why I actually had Mubarak you know, Block was our eighth grade friend with the boys for all those years, and I moved him up to JV, you know, partly because he wanted to move up. He felt like, hey, I want to be a JV coach and all that. And then finally, I'm like, hey, you know, I need you back down there. And so I moved, had a conversation, and like, hey, I'm moving you down. And he was against it at first, and I just told him, I said, hey, you know, it's the betterment of our program. And he then liked it because he was just so busy with football on top of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just told him, I said, you know, this is what we need because you're such a good coach and you do things so well. I felt like we were kind of hurting a little bit because he wasn't down there. And so, you know, like I said, we've been very fortunate to have very good coaches. And, you know, like I said, so it's not just me. It's our coaches so, that we've had.
So you had talked about the difference between the new boys and girls game from a game time coach standpoint. Much easier from girls. I mean, there's fewer adjustments that you got to make.
I think there's fewer adjustments, but at the same time, I think it's a harder read on the girls because going into a game, you know, with our boys, you had an idea, okay, we're going to be pretty good tonight. I mean, you knew that in the locker room, or you knew it was going to be, hey, you know, you just had a feel with them. The girls are different. And even going into third year, you know, the first 2 years, we could walk out there and Vonnie would be, how are we going to be? Or actually even Harold and Bubba would say, on the scores bench, how are we going to be tonight? No freaking clue. I got no clue. We'll find out here in about 10 minutes. You know, for the boys, it was easier. You knew going into a game, you had a good feel or you didn't have a feel about, okay, hey, we got to, you know, when we go back in the locker room with that 8 minutes, at that point, you had an idea of how we were going to be. So then when we talked to him that last time before it hit the floor, you had an idea of what you wanted to say on based on the feel, warm-ups and inside the locker room and things like that. For the girls, I'm still not sure.
So
it's harder to read them a little bit.
So you hear from everybody that, you know what, we had a good week of practice. We're going to play good Friday night. Is there any connection to, you know what, we've had some really good practices to that performance on the Friday night or on the Thursday night?
Oh, well, we try to get our kids to understand, and this is part of that philosophy that we've been talking about with Above the Line stuff, is you can't go out there and just all of a sudden perform now at a high level when you haven't been prepared for that high level. Because you're not used to doing it. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to sustain it at a long level. You know, where, you know, in practice, if you do it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it's one thing. But to do it for a whole, you know, 32-minute game, it's different if you're not used to it. And so we have really tried to stress that every day in practice has to be a game-like situation. That way, when you go out there, and, you know, people talk about big games, you know, our idea is every game's the same, you know, no matter how big it is or not. Because when it's in big game situations, a lot of times what happens is kids aren't mentally prepared. And that's where they collapse. Not because, you know, skill level or they weren't prepared for the game plan. It's just the mental part of it is where they can't handle it because it just becomes too big for them. So we try to get our kids to understand is every game is a big game. And if you play that way, when you get in the tournament, then you don't have to adjust anything you've done because then it's just another game for you. And so then that mentality then is easier for you because then all of a sudden now you get into a district semifinals and it's like, oh shoot, we win here, we go to regional. All of a sudden now it's, I got to do something different. No, you don't. You do the same stuff you've been doing that we've been working on. And so, you know, our whole thing is we're putting you in the position and to be in the right thing, to spots and to do the right thing. So if this is what we've been doing, why would we change now, you know, this late in the year as far as those ideas? So we really been trying to stress hard with them is every day has to be a game-like situation as far as your effort, your attention to detail, and how you go about.
So do you think the lack of participation in the girls' upper level program has something to do with having to work that hard?
I think it definitely does.
That and nothing against the girls volleyball program, but they got a million kids that are playing club volleyball, having fun, and it's a different animal playing girls basketball with the intensity and what you demand from them kids compared to, and I'm not saying anything negative to the volleyball, but it is a different animal when you talk about getting ready for girls basketball compared to volleyball.
Well, and the thing is, like, our off-season stuff, I mean, we do our 10 days in the summer, and that's all we do. We do nothing extra. And so we just have, give us 10 days in the summer. Now, prior to that, you know, we do some workouts. But, you know, over the years, especially with the girls, I've been really lenient. You know, if a boy missed, and part of that, too, is I think the difference between boys and girls, boys just wouldn't miss stuff. You know, they were going to be there. But they also knew, if I'm not there, I'm probably not going to play.
Yeah.
You know, when we had stuff where the girls are like, hey, I got this or I got that. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, we need them. So it's like, hey, if you, you know,
yeah, right.
You know, not that hopefully they're listening. It's like, well, if they show up or not, you know, we still got to play.
Yeah, girls there tomorrow night.
But you know, there's just a little, night, it's just a little different with that. But, you know, a lot of it's just the sport itself. You know, the girls, you're running 84 feet. Volleyball, you run 4 or 5 at the most for most kids. And you play, you know, you can be good at, and I'm sure some of the volleyball people are going to be mad, but you got to be good at one thing. You block or you hit, you set or you dig.
Yeah.
You know, basketball, you got to guard, you got to dribble, you got to shoot, you know, all at the same time. Yeah. Where at one, you just have to do, you know, the other thing. So the demand is a little different.
And you got to, you got a daughter doing both of them.
Right. But, you know, I asked the kids, you know, hey, are we too hard on you? You know, their always response is, no, we want to win. You know, the girls we have, you know, they'll say, no, we want to win. It's fine. Yeah. We're okay with it.
Right.
And like I say, I personally, you know, everyone wants numbers and they think that's great. But when you have the kids who don't want to be there, you get a lot of headaches. Yeah. And the kids who are there that want to be there don't like the kids who are there just because they feel they have to be either. Because then they're not working as hard. They're not as involved. They're not as into it. And they're not invested in it. Yeah. And so the kids we have there now are invested in what we're doing.
That's all.
And because of that, you're going to have more success. Now, you know, the only difference is those 13 kids are going to get to enjoy it versus 20-some.
And another thing is that people is not going to realize is that there's going to be games this year where we are going to beat the crap out of teams. Because we don't have no bench. You're going to have...
Yeah.
You're going to have 8 or 9 kids.
You're going to have the people mad at you because you beat somebody by 40. Well,
we won't beat them 125-5, though.
That's
I guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least don't press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we got to, I mean, I'm just fired up for the season, both boys and girls.
I am too. Yeah.
Let me find.
I have one other question. This is the last question I'll ask all night. You've talked a couple of times about the above the bar.
Above the line.
Yeah. Okay. Give me a 30-second synopsis of what that
synopsis.
Is.
Synopsis.
Well, it's discipline-driven versus impulse thinking. It's thought out. The whole idea is the E plus R equals O, which Brent came up with in football. You know, he used that idea of Tim Brian Kite stuff, of Urban Meyer. The E is the event. The R is basically your response, and the O is the outcome. So you can't control your event, but you know what your outcome is going to be, or what desirable.
You want it to be.
Yeah, what do you want it to be? Is desired. So if this is your event, you know what your outcome is. The thing that you can't control is your response, the R part. And so, you know, like on some of our team shirts, we have what's called the R factor, and that's the response. Which Brent, like I said, has hit hard on that with football stuff, and so it's okay. You can't control your event, what's happening, but you control how you respond to get that outcome. And so that's the part we hit hard on. You know, we talked about it with our kids. Is, you know, just even examples, you know, with Olivia, you know, bringing it up with them is, look, you know, she couldn't control the event that happened in her life, but she could control how she responded to it. And so that could hopefully then, that's going to change and influence her outcome on how things, you know, happened. And so by her being positive and looking at the bright side of things and be, you know, upbeat about it, you know, that changed hopefully, you know, the outcome of part of that. So that's kind of.
Okay, so when you talk about,
I said that was the last question.
The above the line, it is all referring to the E plus R equals O,
right?
Okay,
right. right. And
that's all.
And as they say, it's common sense, but not common practice.
Yeah.
And it's nothing different than what your parents taught you back in the 50s and 60s and 70s as far as growing up, you know, in the older generation of society. It's, you know, being polite, being respectful, being responsible, all that kind of stuff. It's just over time that stuff has gone away through society.
My dad taught me to sneak in front of the fat kid at the buffet.
Be a leader, not a follower.
Be a leader, not a follower. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
If you walk up that hill and you walk down that hill, by God, you know you walked.
That's exactly right. That's
right. How about if you're Tyrone Lue and J.R. Smith's hugging a team member off the other team and he gives up a dunk? Did you see it yesterday?
I saw parts of it.
Have you ever seen like that in your life?
Incredible.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. And Sam texts me, she goes, ask Patchy about that. I've never seen like it before.
No, I just caught part of it on SportsCenter. It was during the play he went over to the guy on the bench, right?
They're taking the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, they were bringing it out of bounds. He walked over. I mean, he's 10 feet off the floor.
Hugging J.R. Smith is?
Yeah.
He's a different cat, though. You see him at the Buckeye game?
He's a weird dude. He's over there hugging, and I don't remember who it was, and all of a sudden they throw it in.
I saw the dunk part. That's about when Lou cleared the bench, though, too,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Said, I'm bored. That's it, guys.
You know, which kind of leads to the whole exchange of uniforms at the end.
Football, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking, okay, so.
It's a fad, it's a new thing.
Yeah. Yeah, God, but it, you know, when you go
you
out
don't
and,
like it, do you?
And you get your ass kicked by, for the 12th straight time, and you're there getting a smiley face.
Well, no one wants the Browns jerseys, but.
Hey, easy. Easy, big fella.
But, you know, that's part of that, though, is, you know, like for basketball standpoint, and even in high school, is, you know, when we first got here, there was, you know, and we probably coached like that a little bit. It was, hey, we got to hate these people. You know, they're our enemy. And, you know, you wanted to kill them. And now it's, you know, with so many, you know, club sports and AAU stuff and different things. I mean, these kids all play together all the time. I mean, they're Snapchatting each other, tweeting each other and all this kind of stuff, Instagram pictures with each other and stuff. And so there's that friendship. So when they get done, you know, they're always, you know, with, like I said, I took my own daughter. She went scouting with us, and she went because one of her friends were playing on the other side, and their parents came up
different.
And talked.
It's different when you're 15.
Right, right.
You're doing it for nothing.
But those guys they're exchanging, right, because they were teammates in college or from the same school. It's usually the people exchanging, right, uniforms.
Right.
So it's, you know, the Ohio State guys.
Aiden and Odell.
Are they Florida guys?
I mean, that's usually, I thought those guys were from the same, you know, so they're exchanging like that. So.
I'll quit bitching.
No, it's okay.
That's my last question. I'm done.
The only other topic I got to bring up tonight, and Apache, thanks for coming up here and talking for 2 hours, and I'm sure we're not done talking to you this year. And the only other thing I got is the return of Tiger Woods tomorrow, and I'm fired up.
He's back.
I saw you tweet that.
You see what he did today on his practice round?
What two eagles, I see.
Two eagles on the front nine.
You know what? It would be so good.
You don't like Tiger because you're racist.
But you know what, though?
I just don't like golf like you like golf.
You know what, though?
And he's a hazard.
It would be so good.
First of all, he ruined his career because he beat his wife.
He didn't beat his wife.
Cheated on his wife.
He didn't cheat.
Yeah, he may have. Yeah.
See, that's more.
She's the one that hit him with golf club.
Yeah, she hit him with a 7-iron.
Broke his hip. Like, I'd have been him. I'd have filed charges.
He ain't about to take a 7-iron out of your noggin when you couldn't get to the up the steps.
Well, he did know he crashed his car.
Well, he was
into a tree.
He fell asleep.
He's tired.
Can't you get run tired?
You know what, though? I mean, I don't really care. I don't if he does well or not. But I think it'd be great for the game,
right.
You know, to have him come back at a competitive level. And to be going head to head against the Rorys and
the studs
and Jason Days and stuff.
You don't like Tiger either.
It hasn't been the same since he left.
You like Tiger?
I like Tiger.
What's that? Stroke? Golf? Stroke?
Oh, stroke.
Something
I'll be
like
stroking.
That. Yesterday, I'm trying to listen to this, your early show with Karen Meyer. I'm trying to listen to it, and he's playing Christmas songs underneath your voices.
Fairly.
Yeah. We could hear him.
We've been talking about Christmas music.
A lot of Christmas.
You know, yeah. Chuck tries to enhance what we
Chuck's
do.
Chuck's ass.
Yeah.
Chuck, good thing Mill's not here because he'd be going flipping out about all the editing.
Chuck's bond.
Yeah. The one thing I was going to say is with the going to Hickory Gym, you guys are coming to that, right?
At December 27th?
27th, yeah.
27. How about that?
Yeah.
Hickory!
Oh, Hickory. But that's something that we're trying to do, too.
No, it's not Hickory.
It is.
No, I mean, how'd you do this? Explain. Tell everybody what you're doing.
Well, you know, one of the couple of things we did was, I mean, we try to do stuff for our, you know, the team, the girls, and let them have some fun experiences and enjoy not just the basketball part of it, you know, but give them some team bonding things. And so, you know, trying to think of things that would entice, you know, kids to want to play and be excited about our opportunities. So, actually, Mr. Firks had texted me one night and said, hey, what about going to Hickory, because you ever been to Hickory, being an Indiana guy? I said, nope. And off the movie Hoosiers. And he said, I'm down here now. He goes, it's awesome. And so he sent some pictures, and then Leverett went down there as well. And so I thought, did some research into it, and you can take your team down there and practice. And so I called him up, see what was open and how much it cost and all that. And so we're going to take our girls down to the old, but they wasn't Milan High School. That's what was supposed to represent, though, was off, yeah, off of Hoosiers. It's actually in Knightstown between Muncie and Newcastle. They use that gym. And so we're going to take our team down there and practice in that gym off of Hoosiers. And so we're actually going to have a Saturday where we bring the girls over to our house and have some, like, donuts and milk and stuff for them in the morning. We're going to watch the movie Hoosiers, and then we're going to go down there a week or so later and then practice in that facility then and let them have a chance to be in there. And you can actually buy the old Hickory jerseys and stuff like that. And
so this is on Saturday?
No, this is on a Tuesday.
The 27th. But 27th. Saturday is the donuts and games?
Saturday we're going to have them just come over to our house and watch the movie, because most of these kids...
Are we invited to
donuts? Yeah, sure.
We're the donuts.
But, you know, most of these kids don't... They've never seen Hoosiers. Yeah. They don't know what's off of. And see, and we went down to Butler, to Hinkle, because they also played in Hinkle Fieldhouse. That was the little state championship stuff. And so, you know, they walk in and they yell Butler, they yell Hickory, and then, you know, they measure the rim, see if it's a 10-foot, and the free throw line and all that stuff. Well, that was at Hinkle. And so I took Bob and took Daniel and Rex down there to watch Wade from Saginaw play at Butler. And so we went down there and we walked around the Hinkle Fieldhouse, they had a whole bunch of Hickory stuff up there, and so we had a chance to kind of see that a little bit and you know, read the different things when they were at Butler and stuff. But we're going to then take the girls, like I say, down there to
that'd be fun
to Knightstown and have them practice.
Hilliard Gates?
Hilliard's dead.
I think he's dead.
Yeah, we got to dig him up. But
Bob Chase died.
Bob Chase.
Bob. Fort Wayne Comets.
Yes, sir. Comets.
Dead.
Dead.
Bob Chase.
But we're taking these two, though.
You don't have enough donuts.
Well, I'm not feeding them donuts down there.
Oh, you're feeding them? Okay.
We're eating somewhere, though.
Yeah, we're going to eat somewhere on the back with the team of kids. And actually,
that'd be neat.
Yeah.
Open it up. We actually changed this year, too. We actually have our practices are open up to parents if they want to come and watch practice, something we've never done before.
All right, there's a car going 137.
What was that?
Pickup truck just went through town. 90
Somebody just robbed a bank.
Yeah.
Where you at, bud?
So we're letting them come to practice if they want, and then we're going to let them come down that night, too, and come down and watch practice so they can go shoot afterwards if they want a little bit out on the floor.
Yeah, it's neat. Good luck tomorrow night, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, let's open her up.
2016-17
season.
Fantastic season, appreciate it.
Can't wait, buddy.
That's it for us, right?
I believe we're done.
Jack, you're MVP tonight. You've been here since...
I've been here since...
Double shift.
You got some major butt sweat going on.
Oh, you know what? I have enough earwax in these...
You got them chewed up?
You know, in these headphones. It's
ripping out right now.
Yeah.
One thing you use in Chuck's headphones.
Those are like Beats or something, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. No. LeBron.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. LeBron's. Yeah.
No.
Or LeBron's.
Yeah. Is that gold?
No. Them it's things plastic. Are worth $300. How much are them worth? $300, $400?
About 200.
About 200 bucks. Yeah. What about your mic? 500?
A little more now.
More than that. 700.
That's a $500 mic.
Higher.
A little higher. About 650.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. You don't sound any better than we do.
I don't get it.
Hey. I don't have the processors up here.
Oh, John. Pro-
processors.
Processors.
We need some processors.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
I'm going home. This is the latest I've been up since my junior
shot her now. We ought to give the old go MAC in football too.
Hey, absolutely.
Oh, three more games in there. You can't beat it.
It's unbelievable. It really is. Yeah. And you know what? I really question if Minster would you make it.
But I wasn't sure either.
Damn.
God, we're,
you know what?
A solid league we got.
Boys. Hell, let's just win all three of them.
Hell yeah, might as well.
It is crazy how good that thing is.
It is.
And you know what? As tough as it is to root for the Coldwaters and the Marions, you know what? When you get to this level, hell, go for it. You know?
It's a lot easier to root for these teams that we've been to the mountain.
Oh, without
exactly. Doubt. You agree with that? Because when he wasn't worth a crap, I was like, screw them.
Yeah.
Screw
them. I'm a basketball star.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that we've been there, done that, go win it all, boys.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, you've had the chance to see actually what it takes, and it's how hard it is to win it.
It's incredible.
And then also the neat part, though, too, is to see how it experienced the kids, had a chance to feel. And, I mean, not even – I mean, just – I know last year, just seeing all my own kids there, you know, at the shoe and just how excited they were and happy for our kids. And it just, that's a great town experience. So you have a little different, like you say, perspective on it. Seeing those teams.
I don't know if you're on Yappy Sports or not.
I read it once in a while, but.
And he was talking about seven divisions and how it's watered down football. It has gave schools like Fort Recovery, Minster's, schools that never had a chance to live just what Patchy just said, to give them kids the thrill of a lifetime. Therefore, it's a good deal.
Yeah. It's a memory forever. I mean, those guys.
Us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
that's the thing. It's not just those kids. It's the community. And the other thing about that, too, is this year for the one of the papers that asked for interview stuff, one of them asked about how did, you know, losing last year affect your kids. And I said, to be honest, not much at all. Not that our kids weren't upset by it. I said, but what really influenced our kids to want to do well was the baseball team's success and was the football team's success. Yeah. Because, you know, our girls were, you know, asking every day during football last year, and they didn't ask this year because we really weren't into practice as long, but, hey, can we get out of practice early? And it was, no kidding, we're going to let you out because we're going to go there. Because, one, I wanted to go myself.
Everybody wants to be there.
Right? So I don't know what you're going to do at practice, but I ain't going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was just, you know, I think it drove our kids to be, you know, they wanted to have some and see some of that success themselves because they had a chance to see the boys experience it. And I think it was a little bit of a motivator for our kids. And not that we really ever talked about it, but just seeing how excited they were and having a chance to go on a little bit of a run with the boys, you know, a couple years. It's just a great experience.
Oh, it is.
And so that was a driving force, I think, for our kids because seeing the baseball and the football success, because like I say, it's not just those teams that experience it. It's the community, the school, and it does so much for us. And, you know, as the coach, you don't get a chance to experience all that fun that goes with it because you're so driven. You know, that's probably the bad part for Brent. Not that it's great to experience it, but, you know, he doesn't get to experience it like the rest of the community because he's so caught up in the details and worrying about, I got to do this and that. You know, I sit back and look at, you know, our pictures when we went in 9 and 10 to the regional finals and, you know, everyone talking about the stories and all that. And it was like, well, I didn't get any of that.
I mean, it was just, you know, we were
sitting on a bus sitting in the gym and, you know, we didn't get all that stuff. And then afterwards talking with Annie and the kids and listening to the stories of, hey, this so-and-so was doing this in the parking lot and they had all this kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, as a coach and a player, you miss out on all that.
Sure.
Not that, you know, you would trade those experiences, but it's just a different type. And so, you know, for me, it was just fun to be a part of that. You know, we went to the state baseball stuff and, you know, had our kids there watching and, you know, it's just a tremendous experience for our kids in our town that, you know, those two sports teams have given
us. For me, in baseball, you know, it's so humbling to go on that field because that field was so beautiful, you know. And then, but that wasn't near as neat as when you turn around and you look at the purple and white up there. You know, it's just like, and I can't imagine. I mean, we had a good crowd, but like in your regional stuff, I mean, you look up at the crowds and you think, we got the whole town here. This is awesome.
You know, we, you know, in that regional semi, on the regional final game against Jefferson, the place holds about 2,000. We had 1,700 people there.
Yeah.
And our town's not that big.
Right.
Yeah. And because of that, you know, that's why we got invited to the Flying of the Hoop stuff after that was they saw us pack that place.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just like, we've never had that
many people. Dollar signs.
Yeah. And they saw money. And then, you know, they thought, shoot, if they, this many people come and watch them, we'll want them at Flying to the Hoop because we could pack the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, the bad thing is they put us on a Saturday morning, you know, whatever. But, and then the other thing you asked about the game earlier, I'll never forget the time we, I think it was Jared and Jason and senior year Wade's, or their senior year Wade's junior year Pig's sophomore year when we were really good.
Yeah.
And we had won a share of the MAC championship that year. And we played Minster in a sectional finals at Coldwater. And before we even took the floor with the 20 minutes to go for warm-ups, our whole side was full.
Filled up.
Yeah. I mean, before we even got out there. And then when we went out and did our little routine and go back in 8 minutes, and we came back out on the floor at 8 minute mark, we had the other half of Coldwater Gymnasium full.
We had our side full.
We had
one section.
Our whole side full, and actually the two sections at Coldwater, so we had half of their side full, and there they sat with not even their two sides even halfway full.
Yeah.
And you know, just seeing our community and how well they supported that, and then, you know, that's just, I mean, as a coach, that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, being in an atmosphere like that, and
you know, I can't imagine as a kid, that has to be neat.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
You know what? You'd mentioned about how tough it is to get there, you know, and with the football or with any sport. And yet, when you look back, also how close we have probably been in the past.
Oh, my.
And it's, and it's a difference between, you know, at 211 degrees, you've got really hot water. At 212 degrees, you have boiling water and steam. I mean, just that 1 degree makes all the difference in the world, you know, and,
you know, and when you say that, Jack, it was funny the year that we played Marion in the playoffs, our first year in there, you know, they beat us and they went on to win the state, you know, and everybody was saying, you know, we'd have won that thing. If it wasn't for Marion, we'd have won that thing. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then we come back and win the next year. I'm thinking, you know what? We would have won that thing. We could have won that thing, you know.
Well, Marion's a different animal.
Oh, yeah.
In football.
Well, and so is Coldwater.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, they're just – Coach Goodwin's a great coach, and they're just a different animal as far as the whole school and participation and everything. But
sure, it's incredible.
But my thought is not just that year, though, but how many – I always said this, too, when I was, you know – a few years back is let everybody in.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's only 1 week longer. You know, I always thought that was the dumbest thing. You know, I came from Indiana where every school gets to play. It's the only sport where they're the only ones who don't get to participate in a season-ending tournament. And I always, and I vocally for years have said that's the dumbest thing in the world. Let our football team in. Because if we could have got in, how many years could we have done well?
Oh, at 2-8, we might have won our first game.
Well, the only problem is when you see some of them first-round scores of the playoffs.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have been like that,
I understand that, but think about some of the first-round games you're going to see.
They're going to be ugly. No doubt.
But that's the whole thing, though, too. You put some of those teams in because they play nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're 9-1.
Right.
All right. Our JV team goes beat them by 30.
Yeah.
So you're 9-1. You know, the better teams don't always get in, you know, just because of what conference they're in. And that just, I always thought that stunk because, you know, our football team, I think, would have had so much more success because if we could have just got in the tournament.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, with that being said, we open them up tomorrow and then the boys are next week and you got a plethora of games coming up.
Get your season tickets.
Yeah, you like that?
That's a good one, plethora.
But we talk about, Synopsis. We have talked about this radio show and being blessed to follow great basketball teams, great football teams, great baseball teams, great football teams. This year's not going to be any different to basketball hardwood. No. We got really good ball clubs. It is a great time to be an Indian
FR fan.
Sport fan, because
absolutely,
if you want to see some good basketball, folks, get up there and watch that girls' team and that boys' team this year, because we're going to win lots of games and make our fans and everybody proud. So
fun to watch.
With that being said, thanks for stopping up tonight, buddy.
Thanks for stopping up, Coach.
Thanks for carrying us tonight, boys.
Yep, we took care of Bubba. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
No problem. Next Wednesday, Chris Guggenbeller.
Gigs, we're going to talk a little boys' basketball.
And we'll recap this week in girls' hoops.
We'll recap our W's.
Give them hell, boys.
All right. See you next week.
Listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. With Bubba and Fee was brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station.